Staff, you ready?
We got time.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the call to order for the special meeting of the town council. And this is the retreat. Purpose of the special meeting is for town council to hold the council retreat to discuss and consider various topics of importance to the town. So we will begin with public comment. And we have Amy Purvis. Amy, as usual, you got
3 minutes.
No filibusters. You got a lot to do today.
I don't even think I'm going to get home to.
And if you have anything you want to leave, of course, leave it with Mandy.
Okie dokie. Good morning. I am Amy Purvis, Mr. Mayor, Councilman, and Department Heads. I come before you today with some cost information related to building permanent pickleball courts at Joliet's Park. As you know, our group has been petitioning the town for quite some time for permanent courts. We are encouraged that pickleball made the potential projects list for the 23-24 budget. But the elephant in the room is, what is the cost? I have reached out to several municipalities and court contractors to get some idea of what similar project costs would be. I have the project plan and project costs for court improvements at Wrightsville Beach as shared by Katie Ryan, the Recreation Program Supervisor for the town of Wrightsville Beach, and a ballpark cost estimate supplied by Ron Reed of AmeriCorps Sports Services out of Raleigh. Mr. Reed based his figures on our request for an estimate of 8 dedicated courts. I made a point of letting Mr. Reed know I was just on a fact-finding mission and was in no way representing the town of Kew Beach. I also reached out to Doug Shipley, the town manager of Topsail Beach. Mr. Shipley was most helpful in sharing his information, but his current project only covered repair and resurfacing, but he did share that Topsail Beach would be adding more courts sometime soon. Based on the Wrightsville Beach figures for 5 courts plus fencing at $57,000 per court, and the AmeriCorps estimate for 8 courts plus fencing at $454,000 per court, the ballpark guesstimate for 8 courts at Joey's Park is between $435,000 and $455,000. Please note that lights have not been included in these figures. It is my sincere hope that these figures will help and not be a hindrance in moving this project forward. Please keep in mind that these are ballpark figures and the actual cost will be determined by the scope of the work at Joliet's Park. Our current group is over 100 strong. I dare say that everyone in our group has played on numerous courts throughout our area, the state, and the country. We have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly of many courts. We would like to offer up our knowledge and experience for playing other courts to help Kew Beach create not only courts that serve the sport of pickleball well, but to create a must-play destination, making Kew Beach as the place for friendly recreation play and serious competition play. For point of reference, I have enclosed a rendering of the ballpark drawn to scale, of our ballpark drawn to scale with an 8-court diagram overlay. I would also highly encourage anyone to reach out to Katie Ryan at Wrightsville Beach. She was so helpful and just really, really supportive and answered many questions. And we back and forth for several days with emails and they are going through the process right now. So they've been there, they've done that. She'd be a wonderful source.
Thank you very much, Amy.
Thank you.
You got a little more than 3 minutes, but we started late. Those will be added to the minutes. And thank you for the input. And that was 455 without lights, right?
Without lights.
Okay.
Based on the comments the other day about the way the neighbors mm-hmm. across the street. You know, I don't know if lights
okay.
you know, would be accepted.
Okay. All right. We have one other, and that is WIC.
WIC 417 North 4th Avenue. Good morning, Mayor, Council, Department Heads. I'm just here to back up what Amy said and looking over the budget 5-year capital plan. One thing that is missing is a number for Joe Eakes Park. I know you may not have gotten to that point as yet, and what I encourage you to do is to have that number put into the capital plan, whatever the number may be. 455 that Amy talked about, or higher, depending on what else is being done to make the park a tourist destination, a citizen destination, and just a great asset to the town itself. So at the end of your discussions today, I would like to see this revised with a number, hopefully in the 23-24 budget for that amount of money, if nothing else, as a placeholder. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Rick. Moving on to the department head presentations. Going to start with Public Works, Jimmy. You all set?
We're going to do this.
Sorry?
No. I thought Arlen was first.
Oh. Look, right here it says department head's presentation starting with Public Works.
Right, you're right.
Okay. All right.
No more questions. Get your staff cut now.
Okay.
Yes. It was the next thing on the agenda today, but I think that was under the purpose.
Yeah, well, I just opened the PowerPoint and started at the beginning. Okay, sorry. I'll get caller.
Good morning, Council. First thing I'd like to do is give an update on a lot of the projects that we had already begun this year and what's completed and what we're looking forward to this upcoming year. Last year we asked for control panels. We asked for four, but we actually got five control panels installed. We've been working on the stations for the last 3 or 4 years now, getting bypasses put in, new control panels, pumps, stuff like that. So out of 10 lift stations, we have two control panels that we'd still like to get installed this year. Other than that, the lift station's looking really good. The bathrooms for Lagoon, we already got them installed this year. We got a quote for rehabbing the Lagoon this year. McGill sent a quote in for like $130,000 to $165,000, which is I budgeted $200,000 last year for. The 4th Avenue project is currently being done right now. It should be done this week, the relining of the 4th Avenue. Mm-hmm. And this year we're going to be looking at possibly installing the water tower aeration we discussed before about keeping the chlorine up and not having to flush so much water onto the ground. This year, the Public Works is asking for a new service truck. Make sure I'm looking at it right. No, I'm sorry. Service truck will be next year. This year, we're looking for a Gator. We haven't got yet. Or am I even on the right thing here? I believe I am. We're in the 23-24. I'm sorry, y'all.
Okay.
I'm reading the 23-22-23. All right, the 23-24 budget this year, we're looking for a service truck for $40,000. The reason being, if we keep trucks longer than 5 years, they have no trade-in value at all. We have several trucks now we don't actually know what to do with. We have a couple garbage trucks that I don't know how to dispose of right now. We're asking for a gator this year. Like discussed the boardwalk replacement this year, how we want to proceed with that. And also the public works building is on the agenda.
Jimmy, can
yes,
for council and for staff, if you can go to page 46, that's what he's looking at from the five-year capital plan.
Yeah.
So that'll help everyone keep up. Mandy, if you can put it up, or Beth. It's,
maybe it's already open. You just got
it. It's 46 on, I'm looking at the PDF. I assume they're the same as the PowerPoint.
Mm-hmm.
They are. Yeah. Okay. And we can cover that. Was actually planning on doing that later, but that's
right.
This is not put us anywhere to do it.
Well, I'm just helping Jimmy out so the rest of us can keep up with him. So.
Is that the right one?
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm reading off of. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Also, we're asking for a hydraulic hose press that we can actually do our hydraulic hoses in-house so we don't have to send something off like when a hose breaks on a backhoe or a garbage truck or something like that. We're down either a day or so getting something like that repaired. So we're asking for like $7,000 for that. And if we'd like to go to the water and sewer fund.
48.
Yeah. Okay, since 2023, we have eight completed lift stations that we have went in and put in new pumps, new control panels, and each lift station has a new bypass on each and every one of them. Now, sewer manhole repair, we've got money in this year yet that we want to try to get done before spring starts. Asking for 2023-2024, like to increase that to $50,000 just to have a placeholder in there. Like I said, a lot of the stuff that we're going to be looking for infrastructure is hopefully going to come to a head when we get this assessment done through engineering services, which will include, I've got a thing that says right here, distribution assessment, and inventory assessment, $40,000. Flow testing, pressure testing, and leak testing, $10,000. Water supply system, inventory and assessment, $30,000. Storage system assessment, inventory and assessment, $15,000. Base mapping, $25,000. A capital improvement plan at the end of this for $10,000. An assessment management plan document for $20,000, which, like I said, we got granted the $150,000. This is on the water side of things, the sewer side of things. Excuse me. Will be practically the same thing: collection system, assessment, and inventory, lift station, inventory, testing, and assessment, which will include smoke testing and testing the pressure of the pumps and stuff like that. Water treatment plant, inventory and assessment, which we're looking pretty good on that right now. I mean, there's not too many water treatment systems that we have in the state, you know, outside of ours, you know. Ours is just unique. A capital improvement plan for that for $10,000, and then another assessment management plan for $20,000, which each total is $150,000. Excuse me, one first drive. We're looking at, like I said, I put $40,000 in for two more control panels for this year. We have, like I said, we have two more lift stations that need new control panels. And then all the control panels will be done in the lift stations. Fifth Avenue Sewer Rehab. I've put $300,000 in for getting Fifth Avenue relined, like we just did Fourth Avenue this week. And then $20,000 for just miscellaneous stormwater projects. Any questions? Am I going too fast or too slow?
It'd be nice if we had this, Jimmy, so we could make notes on it. Do we have something we can get, a copy, so we can get?
What are you looking for, sir?
What you're talking about, instead of us, we don't have any of this in our agenda packet. We have,
it's on 48.
Is it all in there?
46 and 48. Jimmy, I know that you know a lot more about what has to be done in town than we do up here.
Yeah.
And in that regard, we trust on the things that you are looking at doing. What I grabbed from this is that you're actually looking for a new service truck in a new period. You're looking for a new gator. Also that, as I check this out, it appears you're actually asking for less money year to year.
Oh, well, I mean, we're getting more accomplished. You know what I'm saying? But the reason I didn't really have an agenda this year is because I'm kind of leaning back toward the inventory assessment. You know, because this will take care of a lot of the camera work, a lot of the expenses for the camera work, and the pump testing and stuff like that we have really never had done.
Okay, because later on today we'll be talking about the council priorities, which will identify the work behind and some of these other places is when we go for grants, when we go for engineering, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm pleased that there should be some cash left year to year before we operate on your budget to help get some of those things accomplished. So
I just wanted to add, for the capital, we kind of start this process in October, so it's never a final document, basically.
Right.
It's always in progress.
It's always in progress.
It's kind of that point in time that, you know, we gathered up the data, so there's some things that could have even changed by now in regard to your priorities. So.
Well, I think to get back to what Alan said, Alan and John, what details do you want? Because if you want details on individual projects, that's why I called this up, because I knew that's what Jimmy was presenting from. But if you need details, let Jimmy know and we can give you details on what they are, right? So sewer and manhole rehab, if you want more details than what that is, Jimmy can do that. Jimmy and Robin can give you what that actually is, right?
Absolutely.
And so I probably could have helped him out and said, hey, make a PowerPoint thing, but
I knew it was in there. The capital plan is basically placeholders for future years to come. So I'm having a hard time following what he was presenting.
No, that's fair. Well, that's what I'm saying. If tell us what you want so we can give it to you, right? I think from Jimmy's perspective, he plans to execute the 2023-2024 projected capital plan. That's what he plans to do, right? And as Arlen pointed out, this isn't from last year. This was done the last quarter, right? Through October, November, December, each of the department has met with Arlen and said, here's what I need to do this year, and that's Arlen's fixed it. At least that's my understanding of it, right, Arlen?
Yeah, correct.
That's right. And so, he's a little sick.
Okay.
But if you're saying you need details on each of the line items, we can definitely get that for you, if that's what you feel you need, right? So, like the lift station upgrades, he put the specific areas, but if you need more details on what the team's actually doing for that money, we can definitely tell us what you need and we'll come back with it.
I guess the main thing is through that inventory, asset inventory, what we're trying to accomplish and what we're doing there would be a bigger help than he, because that's not in here anywhere, I don't think.
Well, that's a little bit different. Those are those grants that we
have.
Yeah.
We're awarded $150,000 each for water system, and $150 for sewer. So that is an only, it's not to be used for any type of repairs, maintenance, construction.
That's right.
It is
right.
Totally to assess the system.
So yes,
exactly.
That's why I think Jimmy's just saying that, you know, once we do all of that, we're going to have a lot better idea of what our
which thing is worse.
Plan needs to be gone forward.
That's right.
Exactly. Instead of just saying well house rehab, I'll have more
Which one's the worst? That's right.
Exactly. More information.
Yeah, we can prioritize it. But,
yes, sir.
Yeah. Counselor, you have a question?
And the water sewer asset inventory is very much on the front of the scope. I've got, we only have one response to the RFQs. Yes. We negotiated with them, and those contracts are on my desk. You may, actually, council may get those contracts in the regular meeting this month.
Right. Thank you, Counselor.
So getting back to where I was at, going to the stormwater fund, we have a project on Mississippi and Penfish that we're trying to get cost estimates a little better than what we have right now. I estimated it like $192,000 last year. We budgeted $200,000. That is one of the main stormwater projects that we're looking at to do this year outside of the one down the fire lane.
Is that, do we think that's going to happen before this fiscal year is over? We're not sure.
Well, like I said,
because it's in 22-23, are you going to move it to next year or wait and see?
I guess that was the plan, was to do it in this current year.
Yes.
Right now.
So we're waiting on quotes?
Yeah, well, I already got one quote, but I got to send it out for two more quotes.
Okay. And is that something that you think they can fit in before June 30th?
I think they will.
Okay.
Yes, sir, I do believe.
Okay.
And also the project on 4th Avenue up between K and L Avenue, that is considered a small stormwater project. We estimated it at $25,000. We're going to try to do that in-house. But like I said, you know, us being down three or four guys at a time this year, it's kind of put us back on a few things.
So this is the one where we're still waiting on the quote for back here, but it's not really on the five-year plan.
Right. But yeah. I still left it off at this point because we didn't really have a good number for it.
Right.
Okay. Can we just put a placeholder in there so we don't lose track of it?
Right. Well, that's why I put that note at the bottom or whatever.
Okay. I see it. I apologize. I was looking at
it. But we're waiting on the construction document from the engineer, aren't we?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Once we have a better guess of what it's going to cost, we'll definitely can include it on here.
But like I said, the Public Works is asking for a $40,000 service truck, a gator, and discussions about the boardwalk this year.
Yep.
If we go ahead, Arlen, and are successful with Representative Miller, and we get somewhere between $1 to $2 million for infrastructure, is that going to change that asset inventory review we do, or is no?
No.
That's still
a whole separate thing, something we definitely need so that we can really have a good assessment of our water and sewer system.
Okay.
And at this point, it's 100% paid for with grant funds.
Okay. Got more, Jimmy?
Yes, sir. I'm sure that everyone's up. Streets and Sam this year, I did put in the budget this year $150,000. I got a quote back from Fred Smith Company. I would like to get Ocean Dunes Lane, Anchor Way, and Sea Lane Way paved this year. The cost estimate for that was $217,140. So I'm shy on that.
Okay, so you have $150 in budget, and estimate's $217, or the quote is $217.
Yeah.
Well, we have our own correct me if I'm wrong, but we have $155 we put in the budget. But then we're going to add the Powell bill money to that.
That $155 was the estimate at that point in time for the paving that would happen this current fiscal year.
But it says total cost of $175 when we. Okay. That includes Powell bill money in the $150.
That was just total street paving, and as much as possible, we paid for Powell bill.
Well, we know they're going to go over.
Right. We only have about roughly $100,000 in that fund, maybe a little bit less than that. So any remaining amount, just like this past
would come out.
Has to come out of the general
fund. General fund, right. Yeah, that's fine.
One comment on that. We had some issues. Southern, what were they called?
It was Southern Asphalt, yeah. And now it's Fred Smith Company.
Right, and definitely want to be involved with that contract. We had some issues last year. We can address some of this, what's coming up.
Okay.
Just you and I working on that.
Yes, sir.
And Jimmy, that was the take it down to grade and put it back so that we don't change the storm, because that stormwater system's on all three of those roads.
Yeah, so this is milling down 2 inches and paving 2 inches back.
Okay.
Curb repair. Yes, sir. All eight.
So they just can't change the elevations in those streets.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. Everything's milled from here on out.
Good. Thank you.
So
we don't need to make any more problems.
Yeah. Jim, you don't show any paving costs for 2024. I mean, you show some maintenance costs, but so we don't have in plan to do any other streets?
2024?
Yeah.
Outside of patching and repairing things that we have to cut up the roads and stuff, no, mm-hmm. Sir, I don't have anything for 2024.
Can you go back
on slide 47?
Everybody's looking at it and realize.
Yeah, 47. Yeah.
Yes.
So when I put this in here, this was just kind of to show that total amount of street-related costs. So the paving is that first column that is labeled. The next thing is what we typically spend just on maintenance, you know, patching, other type of relining, whatever it may be. So that's what this is showing, working across to how much, in a way, are we going to be short in the Powell bill fund, so how much has to be paid for out of the general fund. That's really what I was just trying to show here.
And typically, what we've historically done, and Jimmy's chosen this, is we let the Powell bill build up some so that we're not taking that much out of the general fund, and mm-hmm. it makes a bigger project, which is more cost effective, mm-hmm. instead of every year, every other year.
Right.
And this past year, I mean, we spent. You know,
I think we've had some.
$1 million on
I mean, we've had some catching up to do, just because of money.
Yeah.
But I would not be opposed to a every other year larger paving contract to try to get all our streets. Jimmy, I would like to see a street by street breakdown, if we could, on when you plan to pave certain streets. That way, if we get asked by the citizens what the estimated time is, we would be able to give that to them. Maybe a total street assessment, maybe when streets were paved, settler paved X year, and that
right,
type of thing to help
I
us
did
out.
That about 3 or 4 years ago. Now we're about to the very end of that, so I will get a new 5-year plan for paving again.
I mean, we've made great strides in getting a lot of the worst streets paved. But I think we need to stay on top of it. I don't have a problem with it doing it every other year.
Right. All right, and then a week or so ago, I believe someone discussed about some beach access has been repaired, possibly getting a grant. And I was asked to get a quick survey of some of the accesses that are in repair, mm-hmm. needs to be repaired now. These are the ones that I came up with. The one at the, which is 99, which would be the one at the lifeguard shack, that one definitely needs repaired. L Avenue, the handicap ramp needs to be repaired. 222 Atlantic, 322 Atlantic, and 643, which would be E Avenue, which is another handicap access ramp that needs to be looked at and possibly repaired.
Did you say L or N Avenue in the beginning there?
L Avenue, yes, sir. That's the most of the access is south. We mm-hmm. went in and repaired over the last few years, you know, the public works yes. has.
Mm-hmm.
But these are some that, I mean, they're in good shape, but they're not in good shape, if you understand mm-hmm. what I'm trying to say. Eventually, they're going to have to be repaired.
Sure.
So if we're going to look for a grant, I suggest these would be the five that we look at and repair.
Okay. Yeah, the ones in the south have been destroyed by storms.
Yeah, they,
so we've replaced those. Okay.
Well, the one at L Avenue, for example, because the dunes have grown. There's a handicap accessible access, and the dunes have grown.
Yes.
So that's pushing into the ramp. So we just need to kind of account for the
sure.
extra size of the dune.
Yep.
Now, I do put money in aside each year to do repairs on these accesses, but that's just repairs. It's
yeah.
not taking them down and mm-hmm. rebuilding them. That would be something that we should discuss.
I'd like for us to look into doing a grant, you know, applying for some of the CAMA grants, you know, like we did, you know, sure. some of the other ones. And
anything we have to do, we should go for a grant
yeah.
for. Anything. So right. we'll get Amy started on a couple of, when we set priorities, we will know where we want to put those funds.
Right. Yeah. Do you want Adrian to do that? I'll be more glad to talk to her about it.
Well, once we have the priorities, yes.
Okay.
Okay. And we'll see if that's a significant priority or if something else is more significant. But, Jimmy, what about the Hatteras ramps? Anything need to be done down there? Because we had all those heavy dozers and trucks going over those
so
ramps.
Inn are they okay? Davis, at Inn and Davis, the two ramps.
Inn and Davis? Well,
yeah. Inn Avenue and Davis Avenue is where he's talking about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
the
contractor this last time did a really good job of putting mats down over those.
Yeah.
So hopefully this last re-nourishment, this last project, they wouldn't have that much damage. But
well, you know, there was damage. I mean, there's been damage over
yeah.
the over the 3 years between
yeah.
these things.
Right.
I just so we take a look at them because.
Well, we do.
I think
you
replaced wood on them.
Yeah, we built quite a few of those already. So I mean, and that'd okay. be something if you want me to look at, I would definitely look into. Yeah,
just take a look at the condition. I'm not saying we have to do anything. Just take a look at the
right.
condition because they are the access, the emergency access points.
Right. But I'm sorry I was scatterbrained this morning and I had jumping back and forth, but I was just trying to get the highlights of the things that we've gotten accomplished this year and how we're proceeding on the. As far as getting aeration and the lagoon mm-hmm. Sludge removed and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's anything mm-hmm. the council is asking for me to bring back to the next retreat or whatever, kind of slimline it, I will. But
okay. We'll give you information on that, Jimmy, because we will have another
right.
meeting right after we set our priorities. So
I don't know if you guys want to discuss the public works building right now or you want to do it later on in the
That's on one of the sets of priorities. We definitely have to spend some degree of that money, and we think we've done that with the architectural contracts.
Yeah, well, quickly, in the next few weeks, the surveyor should survey the lot. Jimmy's located water and sewer for the surveyor, and by our budget meeting, we'll have a floor plan, and Jimmy, we'll have meetings when we get started with all that, but we'll have a floor plan diagram of what the building and a cost estimate for our budget meeting.
So will that be for the building or will it be the building and
the whole project?
The whole project. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
And we're shooting towards that April budget meeting to have that number, and we should have it ahead of that time, but that's what the goal is right now. Contract, you know, been signed mm-hmm. for the project management and for the architecture work.
Okay.
So what I'll do, too, is try to find out what we have to do to extend the grant agreement, because it actually ends June 30th. Mm-hmm. So in theory, the funds were supposed to be spent that we had for that grant. You know, they said it should be easy to extend it, but I'm not sure.
Is that federal or state?
That is state.
Okay, good.
And that was, right now, the only thing we've actually expended will be the design and the project management cost.
Right, well, yeah, but we've contracted.
Yeah, we've contracted four already, yeah.
At this point, we really haven't expended anything for the project so far.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jimmy, do you have an estimated start date on Ocean Dunes paving?
Actually, no, I don't. Like I said, I just have it scheduled for this year.
Meaning 23 before June?
I can proceed with it, yes, sir. I'd like to get it done before the season begins, so.
And try to get it done before season, so, obviously.
Exactly.
Arlen, do we have a year-to-year comparison at all on what Jimmy asked for last year versus what he's asking for this year? Though we don't have all the priorities, I'm just thinking of.
But we'll have that when we have our first budget meeting. Okay. Here is more, I guess the intent was to kind of talk about this is what the different departments see coming down the road or whatever, and mm-hmm. what needs to be factored into or potentially factored into their upcoming budget. So when we have the first budget meeting, which we'll go through that, the timing or proposed timing for that later today, at that point, we'll have all that information together.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for Jimmy?
No.
So you should put everything you mentioned in your preliminary.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank
okay.
you.
Next up is John.
I get it, John.
Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning, John.
I don't have a whole lot for you guys today, but I'm going over a couple of stats, and then I'm not making any unusual budget requests this year. Status quo, what I've got going on. But to give you a smaller view of this past year, I just wanted to tell you that we had around 162 permits were issued. 25 of those were new single-family dwellings, new residences.
How many single-family new?
25 all ago.
25? That's pretty consistent year to year.
It is. Over, let's see, average of 29 homes over the last 10 years. Total feed we brought in this past year was, for 2022 year, was a little over 300,000. And that's everything from stormwater to fencing to building permits to plan reviews, so on. By my count, we have 176 lots left in Jerry Beach that are undeveloped.
How many, John? I'm sorry.
176.
176. When we started counting, it was 220. Okay.
As far as code enforcement is concerned, we have around 181 violations. Violations can be anything from a structure that's in setback to fence without a permit to garbage cans in the right of way. 140 of those were garbage can violations. Seth has been working on those pretty extensively over the last couple of years. I think it looks better out there. We have two active condemnations in the works right now. 205 Alabama, I'm sure you all remember. You guys authorized me to board that structure up about 6 months ago. We're about to come to you with a request for ordinance to demolish it or whatever that language is. But we will be looking at trying to tear that down very shortly. We started the process on another property at 310 K Avenue. I doubt we'll actually see that one to fruition, but got to make the property owner move on making some changes because the place is falling down at this point.
You're all familiar with both properties, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You'll remember we had some CAMA changes come down the line. I'm still working on those. Part of the reason you haven't seen anything from me on that is my main contact in the Moorhead City office was out on medical leave for several months. And so with some of these new restrictions that are in place, they didn't really have a roadmap for how to proceed with applying for some of this. And so I finally obtained that document, and so you'll probably be seeing something from me on that in the next 30 to 60 days. No new developments regarding code changes or floodplains. We're going through a new code cycle for the Department of Insurance next year. Really doesn't affect anything we do other than new codes, new updates, you know. I'm not proposing any new fee increases, no unusual budget requests, and other than that, I'm available for any questions that you may have.
John, is CAMA extending the number of years on application on permits?
They did. Typically it's 3 years, and I believe they went to 5 years.
There was some talk about it at NC Byways meeting. I didn't know if that actually went through or not.
So. Yeah. Honestly, I can't remember.
There was talk about it, there wasn't it. Yeah.
Well, 5 years would be nice.
Yeah.
John, when you talked about the violations on construction, do we have any violation that is more significant than others? Are people doing the right stuff when they're dealing with drainage?
Are concerned and things like that. I mean, I keep a written log of all that. I don't usually report that because usually they get rectified. Mm. If they don't, then we've got issues. So,
okay. All right.
I don't usually bring those up because they become a non-issue.
Okay. All right. Permits are coming in. There's quite a bit of money coming in through your department for permits. So I guess we'll keep on with the process. The only thing that really changes is when we give you a change in ordinances.
Correct.
So any other questions for John?
No.
Well, put in your budget what you need,
you.
At least in the first swing. Finance Department.
Won't really be asking for anything new in the upcoming fiscal year, but I will give you an update on where we've been spending our time most recently, especially the last month. And that was our implementing our new system. I know I've mentioned some of this before, but we did actually convert over to the new system effective January 19th. So everything except utility billing is now processed through that system. Utility billing will come probably in the April-May timeframe. Does create some extra work for us at this point because we're processing utility billing account transactions still in the old system. Then we have to take all of that and input the data, not down to the customer level, but in summary into the new software so we can keep financial systems in balance. We're still continuing to work on our workflows, I guess, around the new system so we can take full advantage of that. It has a lot of great features, a lot of efficiency improvements that we're going to see once we get everything fully up and running. We've set up all department users at this point, so department heads and any admin people in those departments will be working with you over the next few weeks. We've got you set up. You're actually ready to go. We'll just have to give you a little bit of training on how it works. So as we have time to do that, we'll go department by department and show you what you needed to do. You're going to find it much simpler and easier to work with. And you'll be able to, not that we don't enjoy helping you or whatever, but you'll be able to look a lot of things up very easily on your own to get hopefully answers when you have questions. Also later this week, I think actually Friday, we're scheduled to start another part of the implementation, which is an accounts receivable module, which right now we have, not to pick on Nikki, but you know, she'll do billings for things like special events or disc golf course, signage fees, that kind of stuff. Right now we have no way of tracking all of these outstanding items. We're going to have an accounting module, which will generate an invoice and also then a way to track and make sure that we collect on all of these different outstanding or non-utility type of buildings. So that'll be a good thing, something we just really didn't have before. As I mentioned, utility billing probably will be implemented in the April-May timeframe, but we'll actually start a lot of the work on that probably later this month or beginning of March. So there'll be a significant time investment needed there also during that time period. One of the other things that will come about with the new utility billing is the potential to discontinue our WaterSmart customer portal that we have right now. That our new system will maybe, it has that capability. I have to evaluate it a little bit better. But it would, rather than having to generate files to send data to WaterSmart, it would all be one system. We've had a couple issues where the data didn't transfer correctly or not at all. So this would eliminate some of that. It would also save us a significant amount of money in not renewing that that software. It's a great product, but I think we're going to get basically the same thing from our new system. So once I'm sure about that, we may see a cost savings there, with as long as council agrees with the discontinuing that that customer portal. But I'll give more information as we go with that. That's real. One other thing that could change or will change with utility billing once we implement that is instead of having the postcard size bill, we will have a full page that's going to have more information. I guess it'll also give some a chart with usage on. So again, hopefully that customers will be able to see that kind of better, get an idea of why their usage is, what it averages. So hopefully also to reduce the number of questions that people have by giving them more information.
Would they be able to pay online?
They will be able to pay online. There will be a multitude of things. We'll be able to draft people's accounts that want that. If we have their banking information. We'll also have the ability that instead of getting a printed bill, customers will be able to get an electronic bill, thereby reducing some of our mailing costs also. So once we're ready for all that, we'll get notification out to everybody in some format that these new options are available.
Okay. Yeah, will that reduce the transaction fee completely? Or will we still have if someone pays by debit or credit?
If someone pays with a credit card or debit card, it's probably not going to change that transaction fee. But we still need to work through that. This would be more of the draft there.
But if you draft it, there's not a transaction fee if they draft it. Great.
Right. And we've had a lot of requests for that. It's just right now the system that we did have just didn't have the capabilities to do that. So it's definitely something we want to offer and will offer. And I think we'll have a lot of customers that are interested in that.
That was one of the things that came up with coffee at the mayor this past month was the fact that they'd like to see some way to do their payment online without, and I understand why we have a transaction fee. We don't have a large enough usage on that to.
Well, I think almost everybody, any business basically will have a transaction fee on a credit card. It's whether you want to pass that on to the customer or not. Here the town's not involved with that at all. The transaction fee is paid by the customer, but we don't see any of that. It goes directly to the credit card processor. And it's kind of a normal amount. It's about a 3% service charge.
Arlen, you've got a perfect storm going on in your department right now. Just completed the audit at the end of the year. We've started to transfer the system. We have our normal processes that you are still handling. And so there's a lot of extra hours going on in your department. I would like to know the hours by individual that are in excess of the typical hours per week.
Okay.
Okay, please.
I will gather that. One other change that will probably occur is that by shifting to the letter size billing statement, we'll we're going to be looking to outsource the whole printing and mailing of utility bills. So we may have a little extra cost there, but at the same time, there was a decrease in our postage costs also, and some of our other supply costs for the forms or whatever. But that's still being worked on at this point in time. So once I have a couple quotes for that, I'll come back with that information for council.
Okay, so actually this year we're paying for the transfer and we're paying for the software system, the installation. And then every year we do have the license fee.
Correct.
So, but in general, I suspect, I don't know, are costs going to go down or going to be consistent in your mind?
The actual software costs will might be slightly higher than what we had before, only because, I mean, we have a very outdated system, extremely outdated. So our actual annual fees for this new system are going to be higher. But as I mentioned before, if we can utilize the capabilities of this system and not use WaterSmart anymore, that's a fairly significant reduction of the fees we pay for that service. So it starts to bring it more in line with not a significant increase in our computer costs.
Okay, so increases in some areas, decreases in others. Consistently close, I'd imagine.
Right.
Okay. You have anything else?
No, other than that, everything else is, you know, we've as you said, the audit was completed. That went well. All other filings have been done on time with all the different agencies that we have to file reports with. So at this point, everything seems to be moving along. We're just keeping extremely busy at this point.
Any other questions for Arlen? Statements?
Nice job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Fire department's next. Chief Ed.
Comprehensive plan. Then we're looking at doing ocean rescue supervisor for all three shifts. The five-year plan also identified an enhanced public communications and media plan. Essentially, what that was we had a lot of programs that we offer the community for free, like smoke detectors and home checks that a lot of the community just didn't know. So a way to get the word out, whether it be through social media, Facebook posts, email blasts, or text messages, something like that. So basically looking at putting a plan in place that gets the word out a little better. Next up, we have a standardized response plan for all of our call types. Then we have a drone pilot program. We're looking at finishing the wildland Matsu buffer zone plan. We're about 99% done with that. We just still need to do a little training and update a few contacts and gates as well. Boat rescue training plan, a Bald Head Island response plan, Kids Day mass CPR day at the firehouse. That was also highlighted from the community in the survey. And then looking to do a strategic plan on the ocean rescue side as well. So we've done one basically 5 years in a row now. This is our second one for the fire department, so looking to do something very similar on the ocean rescue side, get a little more strategic. The past few years, we've got a lot of feedback from the community on tower locations, the types of towers, the lifeguard shack, public access is wheelchair, so basically a way to get a little more strategic over the next 5 years and hone the focus. So we've got beach cameras on the north and south side, the lifeguard shack upgrade finalization. We're pretty much almost done with the shack, just have a few more items. And then a rescue equipment plan put into place prior to the new engine. And then the last is battery-operated vehicles and golf cart hazards training. So what I'd like to do now is I'll go into a little more detail on two items that do have a financial budgetary impact. And then, like I said, if you guys have any questions on any of the remaining items, I'd be more than glad to answer some questions there. Okay, so the first one is the largest request I have in the upcoming year is to convert two part-timers to full-timers, which will allow three ocean rescue supervisors 24/7. So you can see kind of the way that we run our shifts now is we have three shifts, an A, B, and C. They each have three full-time firefighters on them, with the exception of one, which has the fourth. That's J.D. Lanier. He's our ocean rescue director and currently runs that program. And then on the other two shifts, we have a part-timer. So they come in, they're attached to that shift, and they cover Kelly's vacation, sick, and training days. So I'm looking to convert those two part-timers to two full-timers, which would give us four full-timers on all three shifts as opposed to just one, and then the two part-timers on the other two. And what I'd like to do with that simultaneously is also split up the ocean rescue requirement of J.D. Lanier and split it amongst three supervisors. So what that would do is it would allow us for every single day, 24/7, to have that person physically go down to the beach and run the lifeguard program. It would solidify our leadership for the actual program. So something that we've experienced since I started lifeguarding was, you know, the new coming guards every year, they're kind of wondering and questioning who's going to be the assistant, who's going to be the head, how is the program going to be run, should I go to Carolina Beach or go to Wrightsville Beach. By adding this, basically a couple of full-time supervisors, everyone is going to know exactly what to expect. So it gives that foundational leadership for the program. It'll add a layer of connection between the ocean rescue program and the fire department. So previously, you know, if we get a 911 call, we have to radio down to the lifeguards basically what the incident is, how to handle the incident, and you know, what to do. So there's a slight disconnect between the ocean rescue where the incident might be occurring and the fire department who would come down and basically mitigate the incident. So this supervisor would be actually on the beach throughout the daytime on their shift, and any fire call or missing kid or drowning or complex incident, we'd have that, you know, immediate connection via radio, and then also the same standard operating procedure, so it allows us to connect both the programs together. Next, it would allow some easier management of scheduling issues. Basically, JD is the only supervisor that we have, so when we pull him off the truck from April 1st to October 1st, he's down there quite a bit. Especially in the beginning, he's training the guards, you know, 5 to 7 days a week. And then his requirements to meet his hours and then also fill the voids of any ocean rescue voids that we have with scheduling. So that might be on a busy day. It might be days where, you know, or weeks where we have lifeguards that are taking vacations at the same time. So like I said, he's currently the only supervisor that we have. And not to say that he's burned out, but it's definitely a way to look into making sure he doesn't get burned out as well by splitting up these responsibilities. So, you know, payroll, scheduling, training, junior guard camp, hiring, firing, the entire level responsibilities can now be split amongst the three as opposed to just one. So what this would also allow for the employees is the distribution of those important management roles. So like I said, the everyday scheduling, the training, the physical training, the daily PTs, the junior lifeguard camp, the medical training, you know, the inventory of medical supplies, which would give them a good shift in responsibilities. It would also make it more of a realistic time requirement of those supervisors, as opposed to just JD being down there. You know, I'd have to check the payroll, but a good amount of time, a lot of overtime, a lot of weekends. It would split to where when you show up to work on your normal work schedule, you go down to the beach and you're in charge of lifeguards throughout the day. I did put in here that Carolina Beach has, over the last 10 years, gone through 5 separate ocean rescue directors, and it's really just burnout. You know, the challenges change every year. We've seen it that it's getting harder and harder to hire 16 to 20-year-old teenagers, young adults, for varying reasons. So having somebody year to year that sort of stays up with that, doesn't get burned out, you know, sort of remains positive and keeps the staffing alive and coming back year to year, I think is very important. So we recognize that neighboring beaches are having the issue of, you know, multiple ocean rescue directors. So this is another way to keep alive with it. Okay, so as far as the cost,
And I did have one question for you on that.
Yes,
so
sir.
Right now we have just one supervisor and 2 part-timers?
That's right.
And
so for the ocean rescue, we just have 1 supervisor, which is J.D. Lanier.
Okay.
What we've done in the past is every year we've hired, historically we've had 2 assistant head lifeguards and 1 head lifeguard year to year. And they're essentially part-timers that, mm-hmm, you know, have been with us year to year and, you know, shown that they can continue on in a leadership capacity. So what happens is we also expect that those assistants and lifeguards are eventually going to move on and get full-time jobs, because you can't be a part-time lifeguard forever. Well, you probably could, but, you know, be nice if you could. But what right now we have J.D. Lanier, who's a full-time firefighter with us. So we removed him from that B shift around April. And then he's in charge of everything, changing oils in the four-wheelers, you know, selling, purchasing four-wheelers, the tryouts, the training. I mean, and of course, he's actually on the beach. So on top of being the head lifeguard, he also fills the voids when we have staffing vacancies as well due to whatever reason. So we just have 1 currently, and then we usually will do an assistant head lifeguard where in the event that JD can't be there, whether we're short at the firehouse or he's on vacation or just, you know, normal life circumstances, that assistant head lifeguard will run the beach. What we did last year was we made it a requirement that the assistant head lifeguard also had to be a volunteer member, at least a volunteer member with the fire department as well, so it connected the 2 entities and really accomplished what we're trying to do here on a full-time basis.
Okay, so this is actually 2 new positions then. Nothing's going away. It would just be addition of 2 positions.
That's correct. And it's really,
okay,
as far as staffing, it won't provide any additional manpower. It's just converting these 2 part-timers that are already working 53-plus hours a week to full-time and then attaching the responsibilities that, you know, could be attached to them as full-time firefighters as well.
Okay. Okay, understood.
So how many hours is a week for y'all?
53.
So they're already working that number of hours already?
They're working usually a little more than that. On average, I would say.
I don't know. They're around that. Sometimes it might be slightly over.
So they're already working now.
That's correct.
You're right.
That's correct. They're already attached to these shifts.
Right.
So there's really not a change in staffing. There's not a change in what they would do other than the fact that we would attach the responsibilities of ocean rescue to their job descriptions, which, as a part-timer, I don't believe it's fair and right to do so at this point in time.
we're already providing benefits for these?
No. The only benefits, they, because of the number of hours, they retire.
They're in their state retirement system, correct?
Correct. But, okay. But no other benefits.
That's correct. So this request is essentially, and you'll see the totals here in a second, that the request essentially is for health insurance, 401k, group insurance, supplement, basically the additional, and then their salary as well. So when you see the budget request, it'll be a large reduction in the part-time salaries.
Right.
And then an increase in the actual salary. But my next thing I'd like to propose is a mixed call share. Because of the responsibilities, we currently have one employee that is being funded partially or more than partially out of the TDA fund. So this is something that, based off their responsibilities and the time requirements, that they'd be on the beach for 6 to 8 months a year. I'm proposing a 50-50 split with the general fund and the TDA fund, or the 33-67, which is a... We have to really look at their months of being on the beach, because if it's April 1st, October 1st, that's 6 months throughout the year, so that's half. They also do shoulder season work where they're building lifeguard towers, painting lifeguard towers, selling four-wheelers. So the 33-67 could also be a realistic split as well, or somewhere in between there. So the total impact, you can see right there on the chart. So we did the 50-50 split. I'd have an increase in the fire department budget this year of $5,600. And then an increase in the lifeguard budget by $19,000 to cover the conversion. And then if we did the 33-67, you'd see a $30,000 reduction in the fire department budget, and then a $53,000 roughly increase in the TDA budget.
Right. So as numbers count all the benefit costs too, right? Or not? Did you work together?
I believe you factored all that, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so you guys worked together on it. So what you're saying is for, I don't know, whatever, I can't do the math, but $25,000 to the total budget, whether we say it's from TDA or where it comes from, you're going to go from two part-timers to two full-timers.
That's correct.
And then you're going to reinvest their focus, so some of it is in the lifeguard during the lifeguard season, and then during the rest of the year we get the benefit of two full-timers instead of two part-timers.
That's correct.
But doesn't change your total staffing?
No, sir.
Right.
Okay. Wouldn't it change staffing for the remainder of the year that we're not on the beach, though?
It seems like it would, but it wouldn't, because we're currently using them now throughout the off season to cover the other full-timers, Kelly's vacation from six.
He's already using his part-time budget for that.
Okay.
Right?
So you'd be looking at current part-timers who are full-year part-timers to take these positions.
That's correct. I do believe we have to follow a normal hiring process.
Right.
Advertise.
So it may not be the same people necessarily.
Okay. Any questions, Fred, on that?
Anything on your your non-personnel budget that you're asking for, Chief, at least at this point?
No, sir. I do have item number two, which I'm about to discuss a little more in detail. That's I'm looking to phase over a few years.
Okay.
Just want to go back to the full-time, part-time. One quick question. This distribution, 50-50 or 33-67, what's going to determine that? Do we need to apply for more funds, or can we just make that decision in-house?
I mean, we can make that decision, but what Ed and I talked about was, you know, let's make it what it really is. You know,
right.
If we expect that they're going to spend, you know, 67% of their time on ocean rescue, then that's what we should charge to that area, 60% of their expenses.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just true enough. And then... We always ask for all the money we can get from the TDA. The issue is just, it'll eventually become the general fund, because we already spend as much as we can get, I think, right? It's not like there's extra money from them.
Yeah, well, there is right now.
There is right now. That's the thing about it. Yeah.
Okay. We've had some great years. We may not always have great years.
Right. The TDA money is very strong right now. But our what we're asking for, we're kind of maxed out, right?
That's what we're trying.
Well, not really. Right now, which I have this for later too, but it's I'm trying to remember. I think we have about available to us with TDA right now around the $600,000 to $650,000 that's waiting for us. So council just approved a number of requests and at the last meeting they were approved by the TDA. So we should be getting around $470,000 or $75,000 within the next 2 weeks or so.
Right.
So we're using a huge chunk of what's available for us.
Right.
But the big piece of that is the ocean rescue part. So, for the next year or so, we're going to have to take just a little bit here, a little bit there, what we can. We also use TDA funding for the oceanfront park programs, oceanfront park repairs and maintenance.
Right.
And those types of things. So all the a lot supplies. Of those things are not significant amounts, like the ocean rescue, We get reimbursed for the entire amount spent for that.
That's right.
And that is the most significant cost we have on the TDA. This year...
If it's a true allocation of 67% ocean rescue, we should definitely record it that way.
Okay. Good.
And just for information, TDA is up 5% year on year. It's not up as much as it had been, 19%, et cetera. So we're kind of, I don't know if we're approaching a wall or not, but
post-COVID.
I would think we'd probably start to drop, not drop back, but probably start to
consistent a bit
year to year.
A lot of the growth is like 1%, 2% in other areas.
I hate to jump back and forth, but if we apply for a CAMA grant for these beach accesses, we're going to have a match that's going to go along with it, more than likely.
Mm-hmm.
So we could use TDA funds for that.
I'd have to look at that or whatever to be sure. It depends if, making the case that it's tourism related.
Right.
Okay.
And some of that can be in-kind work.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
So,
okay.
Which will be from staff. Okay. All right, so we'll take this under advisement, but you should probably put it in as the way you see it. And what is item number two?
Okay, so item number two, this was something that was highlighted in our five-year plan by both our employees and the community. So kind of what I'm doing here is combining two items that were highlighted into one thing. So I know the topic of discussion now, we're in the middle of, we're about to start the salary study, I do believe. A different department is going to discuss some other employee incentives. I spoke with Arlen a little bit about it about a month ago. But the idea is, being a one-station fire department, we understand that we have a unique challenge in the fact that the only way you would ever move up in the ranks or get promoted or increase your livelihood financially is if someone else leaves. So, like I said, that's a unique challenge to us. An idea that I have to potentially overcome that is to identify the areas of void within our department now that were highlighted by the community, and then attach those to current employees and basically give them an additional set of responsibilities for higher pay over time. So some ideas and items that were highlighted, and some of these are currently underway now. They include fire inspections, the ocean rescue program, CPR training, communications and media coordinator that we discussed earlier, EMS system representative, that person would take care of all of the medical equipment, training, continuing education, grant writing, public safety programs coordinator, a fire investigator, our incident reporting, that's currently being handled by one person who's our deputy chief. He handles all of our training and all of our incidents. Wheelchair scheduling and maintenance. So most departments use their parks and recreations department for that. The fire department is handling that, and we're more than glad to do so. but also comes with the scheduling and the repair of those wheelchairs to make sure that it's a good program. Fleet maintenance, rescue boat, boat training maintenance, and then physical fitness. So these are just some bullet points ideas. They're not hard set in stone. I just wanted to present this to council so you can kind of see what we're working on. But the idea is to not only take these boys, but attach them to someone that wants to do them as well. So that way they succeed in doing the program too. So I have an estimated cost here, which is, I just threw this number down. I put $50,000 phased over a few years. We have 11 employees, so you can sort of see the math if that was evenly distributed. But like I said, that's just something that's on the radar. We highlighted that in our plan. And I'll be putting at least one or two of these in the upcoming budget. Go as a salary adjustment.
I had a question for you on this, Ed. Is that, are these delegated responsibilities now, or how are these getting done?
A lot of them are not getting done. Some of them are. So, for example, fire inspections. Our captain, Steve Wally, he's in charge of all fire inspections, so he handles all 76 properties. Previously, he was staying on the shift, and the issue with that was we were getting calls on his days off for reinspections or questions. So we had to call him and reschedule. He might be on 4 days, so it might be a week or two before he gets back to that original inspection. Last year we changed so he could come off the truck for a full month and just focus on fire inspections. But I'm looking at this more as a way where, let's say that Captain Zwally left. Well, that would leave a void of handling all fire inspections. And if I went to the other captains and said, hey, who would like to take over fire inspections? The first question I could probably foresee would be, does it come with any increase in pay or responsibilities? I'm kind of good where I'm at, or I'll take it if it was this amount. So the idea is to take all of these areas of responsibility that were highlighted and then attach them to a person and achieve these.
So you assign a different percentage of salary increase for each one of these bullets, or would it be the same across the board?
I think what we're going to have to look at is you're really going to have to sit down and look at workload. One person, for example, fire inspections, to equate the same workload, someone else might be getting incident reporting, wheelchair maintenance, and fleet maintenance to make it as even as possible. It's definitely going to be a difficult thing, but the idea would be to capture everything that we're currently not doing or not doing well, and then do that. That's all I have on that topic. Like I said, if I do put it in the upcoming budget, it would be under the salary adjustment, and I would highlight exactly which ones that we're looking at doing. Because right now, with our ranking structure, we're about where we're at.
And you plan on this bit, piecemealing this
over
a few years period?
Yes, sir. Like to prioritize it.
I'm going to say, I know you. I think you'll prioritize it.
Well, I think the other key thing that I think Ed mentioned too was the salary study.
Mm-hmm.
So that would definitely impact this, I guess. So I think that kicks off the model, right? So I think that'll help to maybe refine this or even say whether this that's even necessary based on what the results we get from that. Mm-hmm.
And to add to that, I'd like for this to happen after the salary study, so that way it's a fair representation when the salary study comes in and looks at exactly what they're currently doing. Someone that takes on a full-blown program doesn't get viewed in the eyes of the salary study that they're overpaid based off of the additional roles and responsibility too. So. And then the rest of all of the other items that were identified here have either no cost or they can be absorbed in our operating budget. But if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer any of that. And then the last thing is the vehicle replacement plan.
Chief, I'd like to ask a question about number 5 and 6.
Okay.
The drone program, and somewhat ties into MATSU. Commissioner Oliver and I attended a meeting last week up in Carolina Beach with those people. Some folks from the take their council of government and the new Matsu commander and some of his people. One, I don't know if you're aware, and somewhat to the police chief also, in 2026, Matsu is planning to fence the entire buffer line and how that might impact either police and particularly fire going in there to support them. You know, if a fire is here, you got to go way down here to get around the fence to get back to it. How that might impact. Just trying to make you aware, not asking for a solution. But they did brief us as part of their presentation that they're planning to, they Matsu are planning to put up a fence along the buffer line end to end. And two, the drone program, have you got a plan about how that's used, how many drones are you thinking, and does it fly all day during ocean rescue, or do you just put it up when you get a call that somebody's in trouble so you can see where that person or persons are? And will all of your or a number of your fire rescue, ocean rescue people be trained on how to operate the drone? And
yes, sir. So, as far as the way the drone will be used, first and foremost, it won't change the way that we do anything whatsoever. So because we can all of a sudden use a drone, we're not going to put a drone up in the air prior to an ocean rescue of sending people out in the water. So the purpose of the drone will be locating missing people on the south end, the Fort Fisher Bay area, or in the Matsu, in the buffer zone. Basically hard to get to places. On top of that, those areas specifically are no-fly zones.
Right.
So in order to use the drone for what we want to use it for, we've actually just went through a week-long UAV school, but we have four people that just went through the Part 107 UAV ground school, and that allows them to take the Part 107 test. It's a requirement to use the drone in a commercial type setting, so all public safety would use this Part 107 certification to be able to do so. Once our four drone pilots, and the goal is to eventually have the entire full-time staff to have their drone pilot certification. Once they get their certification, then they're allowed to fly it in the type of setting that we would. On top of that, we can apply through the FAA. We have to actually piggyback off the public safety program that Rice Beach has set up through the grant program. And we can essentially jailbreak our drone or any drone that we get, and they would allow us to use the software that we can fly the drone in those no-fly zones. So the biggest use would be locating those missing victims, either on the south end or Fort Fisher. 2 years ago, we had a guy that was stuck up to his neck in mud. It was at nighttime. The tide was dead low, so it was rising, but we couldn't get a boat there. So, you know, we had to send one group one way, one group the other. His phone eventually died, and we knew the tide was rising. And luckily, when we got to him, the water was up to his chin. But a drone, we could have stuck up in the air really quickly and located him. It probably took us about 3 hours to find him. We probably could have found him in the first half hour, probably. And then we'd use it to locate fires in the buffer zone.
Being in the no-fly zone, do you have to request permission from Matsu before you can put one up over their property?
That's right, and the FAA. So we would have a contact immediately that we can contact the FAA to let them know that we're going to be flying. And all this would be registered. So they'd see our drone in the actual no-fly zone, but we would have to request clearance first. And then part of it being in the buffer zone is that we have to request clearance from Sunny Point. That's a quick phone call to the dispatch center. They've okayed several times in the past. Our drone physically will not go. Even if you hold it to go into the no-fly zone, the software won't allow it. So.
Well, I shared with Chief Bowden before we got started this morning that another piece of information that Commissioner Oliver and I learned is there is a letter currently on the governor's desk, or in the stack of paperwork on the governor's desk,
to approve coincident or joint jurisdiction in the Moxie buffer zone. When he signs that, the plan is to get the fire chief, the police chief, and people together with Carolina Beach and Matsu to talk about really what does that mean now that they're joint jurisdiction. I would hope that that would allow our fire and police not to have to coordinate every single little piece of getting into their area. And the Matsu people are really excited about having the governor sign this and approve it so that more things can be done from our people in their area. And I asked them, did they think that would impact more resources over here? Would we need to staff up more because of doing some things that they might have done in the past? They didn't think so, but just we need to all collectively flight follow that letter and see when it gets signed and go to meetings and discuss what this is going to mean for now the Moxie police, and our fire have some jurisdiction in their property.
Ed, one other thing that I wanted to mention, that as I look at this incentive comprehensive plan, I am a fan of doing some things to retain our people. I view some of these as delegated, some of them probably are not, but I would view that we are seeing Representative Charles Miller, and one of the things in our legislative priorities was that we want them to do more at the state to assist in finding police and fire officers and retaining them due to all the stuff going on in society. So I would like to meet with you on this before February 23rd so that we can get an argument and maybe put some of this together to see if they'll actually fund it. Because I do believe there are some things in here which are unique to us. Rescue boats. That's one of the things I told them. Do not overlook us because we're a small community. Our rescue boats do all the saving. Our beach people do all the life saving. Our police officers go down there because they have one guy and he's not there Saturday or Sunday. And they have, what, two lifeguards for 3,000 people, or whatever, how many people are down there. So I'd like to give them some ammunition relative to this, because I think there is value within this. So.
Yes, sir, certainly.
Okay, yeah. All right, thank you.
That's all I have on the fire side. Lifeguard budget, there's no large request. The budget request will be coordinated based off of the conversion of two part-time to full-time. And then I think we should probably keep up with the salaries, even with whatever we do as a COLA on the town side. That way, you know, as opposed to coming back 5 years and saying we're a little behind on salaries now. And then there's no budget request, but always keep an eye on the south end. Their program ebbs and flows, and we always extend our hand to help as best we can, because at the end of the day, if they can't handle it, then the load gets put on the lifeguard squad here and the fire department as well. So just wanted to mention that I'm meeting with their leaders on a regular basis, and at this point in time, there's nothing more to discuss other than we're keeping our eye and make sure the south end stays protected as best as we can. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chief Bowden.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
As you can see, first thing on my list is a salary adjustment for two of my officers. Both of them were promoted last year. They've taken on more responsibilities and duties. That would be an additional $5,000 for three for one and two for the other one. We already have a night shift bonus for the night shift guys, but I'd like to add two more to that. And it doesn't go towards their salary, it's just a bonus. It's $1,000 per quarter, which puts us in line with what the hospital does or pays their guys at night. Capital outlay vehicles, an additional $20,000. Everything is going up, cars are going up, the equipment for the cars is going sky high. I think I had $90,000 last year, and I had $100,000 estimated for this year, but I need to go to 110 for two cars. Next up is education reimbursement. It's $1,200 per policy. I have two individuals that would like to use that this year. D3 cleaners, they come in and clean our front lobby since the parking people use the front lobby now. Or front bathroom, and this year I've had them come in and clean the rest of the office. For the past 22 years, we've cleaned the offices, and I'm trying to get him to do more of the bathrooms and vacuum, and we'll still do it once a week as we used to. Next up, cameras on critical infrastructure. We have four active well houses, and one of them being over Joey's Park. For about $18,000, we can get cameras on all four well houses. We can have, I think it's up to six cameras on Joey's Park looking at the tennis courts, because recently we've had some vandalism and some complaints there. But that will put them on all four well houses and cover some of the parking on I Avenue as well, and the beach access there. The law enforcement certification incentive program. Officers that meet or exceed the requirements set forth by the state and receive their advanced or intermediate certificate receive an additional pay of $1,000 per certificate or $2,000 for the advanced certificate, not to exceed $2,000. I originally had college in here, but I took it out. It's roughly $22,000 to cover that cost. There's a lot of agencies now that are doing this, and I don't want to say we're playing catch up, but we're having a hard time getting people. It took us 7 months to hire this last person that we hired. Used to, we never had to advertise. Now we're advertising, and we've had to up our pay to get people to come to the door. So I really do think we've had a good one, or had a good one for this last opening, and I think he's going to be a good fit for us, which puts us back in the staff.
Is pay the primary item that you hear about when people turn down opportunity here?
Pay, insurance. We have a great program, but we did do away with the, if you work for the town for 20 years and you can retire, get the insurance. We hear that a lot. We can't get people coming from other places to have it. And fortunately, it's keeping some people here. But we have, I think, three right now that won't get it when they retire.
So we lost a few people. The ones that we lost, I know you set some free, so to speak. But we did have some other people who were in play. They went to other departments because of salary.
Most of them either went back home. They moved here from the mountains or what have you. Most of them have left for retirement. The last two have left for retirement. It's just paid in general. I don't think they hold anybody here anymore.
So is the sheriff's office down as well?
The sheriff's office is way down. Wilmington's down. Everybody's down.
Everybody's down with officers.
Hospital's down by 50% on their patrol.
So,
yeah.
And that's not a big department either.
That's why we put it in legislative priorities. It's hard to get police officers.
Very much.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it's not fun sometimes, but
What's the minimum years for retirement? 20?
Depends on, you can do 5 and be 55 and go out, but you won't get much.
Yeah, it's a state program.
It's a state.
Yeah, 25 or 55 and more than 5 years or 30 at any age. I think I'll cover most of it. But.
A little bit like a military program, John.
Well, I mean, the military doesn't have that age thing. You can't join up at 50.
No, that's true.
Work 5 years. But if you go in at 22 out of college or enlist at 17 or 18, you got to get 20 to get retirement.
Yeah.
To get full in North Carolina, you got to have 30 years in the system or a combination of age and
points.
Years of experience.
Yeah. Well, I have so many points.
Thinking from another state I lived in, young people would come in and work 20, and they would retire from that city's fire, police, or whatever, mm-hmm. and they'd only be 42, 43 years old. They moved to another city and start over. And then when they got 60, they got 2 full-time retirements.
So the benefits for the certification, officers must meet the board training requirement hours through police training classes and or have a degree and police training classes. Officers must also meet years of service requirement, making the officer better and more trained and seasoned officer. The more people we have, the league of municipalities may adjust our insurance by up to 5% for just the police department. On that alone, I put in there the requirements for the intermediate and the advanced certificate on the next page. We currently have 7 officers with their intermediate and 6 officers with their advanced. By July 23, we should have 4 more of their advanced, with making a 10 of total advanced, 2 intermediate and 1 basic. And the 1 basic is brand new, he just started. Which 10 out of 13 officers is not bad. It's not bad at all for us having that.
Arlen, do we know the insurance you referenced? Is that's just risk insurance for getting sued if the police department's involved in our certification, I assume? Is that what you're talking about, Chief?
Yeah, that's part of our property and liability coverage.
Is it 5% total or just 5% on the portion that's for that part? Or do you know, just for interest, do we know how much 5% is?
I don't really know. I don't know if you. I'm assuming it would be 5% on that portion. Of
right. It would be whole. That portion.
Yeah, because the rest of it, I mean, the biggest part is our property coverage.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah. I mean, it's just interesting to know how much it is, but okay. Thanks, Chief.
That's pretty much all I have for extra on the budget. I did want to let you know we are working on the North Carolina League Municipalities Risk Review Process. It's a program designed to assess police departments' adherence to best practices, court decisions, and policies and procedures related to high liability areas in law enforcement. The goal is to mitigate the liability exposure, enhance officer safety, and validate training and operating procedures or up to industry standards. Upon completion of this review process, the town could receive a 14% reduction in addition to the 5% reduction in professional liability insurance through the league. And it tells you a little bit about what we have to do down at the bottom. And it's making sure our policies, basically making sure our policies are up to date. They come in and they look at our office and make sure everything in the office is the way it should be. And it doesn't cost us any money. Like a lot of bigger agencies can afford to spend several thousand dollars to be certified. But we want to do this process to get certified through the league and hopefully reduce our liability insurance by 14% over this piece.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? Is that it, Mike?
That's it. That's
anybody have questions for Mike on any of these?
I appreciate you looking for keeping your guys and looking at the cost of liability insurance. With what's happening in the world, I bet it's going up a lot, so saving on that's probably a good thing. Probably better than we realize.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Gentlemen, it's 10:40.
I just have a quick announcement.
Yes.
First of all, do you guys want to take a quick break?
Yes.
Second of all, lunch is going to be delayed. Jersey Mike's is running behind. They have no staff today. So it's going to be closer to 1 before you guys get lunch. They cannot be picked up till 12:30. So,
okay.
Sorry.
All right. So it will be reflected in their tip. Okay. Let's take a.
If anybody wants
to. Yeah, we're talking about budget. Yeah. So let's take a 10-minute break.
Oh, please, thank you.
Well, I think we have scheduled 15.
Make sure it starts counting again on me. There you go. You're good to go.
Okay, the break is over. We are ready to get back in session. Next up is Nikki, Recreation.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. The Recreation Year in Review is in your agenda packet. If you would like a hard copy, I do have some printed.
Okay.
So we're going to go through that pretty briefly, but the update on current projects that were in the budget for fiscal year 22-23. We have replaced the ceiling and the lights in the kitchen and meeting room at the community center. That project is complete. We are working on replacing 4 swings in the oceanfront park, wooden swings. That's also in this year's budget. Those should be installed prior to the kickoff of our spring programming. We've replaced and upgraded the 5 benches at the dog park at Joe Eats Park and added 2 dog waste stations. There were 2 capital projects on the current fiscal year, the tennis and basketball court resurfacing. That is under contract. You guys approved that at the last, and the work is, we don't have an exact start date, but late May, early June to be completed by the end of this fiscal year. And the Oceanfront Park restroom renovation that is also in this current year, we had a contractor and the architect on site, and we are waiting to get the drawings back. It may be more complicated to convert to get rid of those alcoves and turn that into a wall because of the concrete, the lay of the land there with the concrete. So as soon as we get those drawings, we'll submit them to you guys to review and decide how to proceed. But those were the current projects that were in this fiscal year. So now we'll just go through 2022 in recreation. It was a busy year. The first 2 pages of that summary were all the events, classes, programs that we were involved with in the year. There are currently 11 active classes, and they change pretty frequently. And we're currently working with, we've had 3 requests just in the last week to even add more. So that's a constant state of flux, but at the current moment, we have 11. The summer programs, we returned to the full slate of the schedule prior to the pandemic, so that kept us very busy this summer. We also did some short staff. We had hired our seasonal summer help, and as soon as the season started and we got trained, we had to leave for health issues. So we ran this summer a little short staff. We're currently working with UNCW's Tourism, Recreation, and Sports program to begin hosting interns in the summer to help with the coverage for events and to train them on a variety of things we deal with here. Town-sponsored special events was a busy year with the 75th. We did 6 events in April, and those were all well-attended and well-received. Our fall and holiday programs continue to grow in our year as well. The outside agency special events, which includes film permits, there were 8 of those with 7 additional film permits, so that doesn't appear to be slowing down in this year either. And then some of the other programs and events are just highlights of things that are large, take up a large swath of time or keep us spread pretty thin and in our department. Page 3 starts the town facility, just some revenue highlights from the different areas that recreation brings in. So the page 3 is all facility rental revenue. It took a big hit with COVID. We had to cancel, and that impacted multiple years. 21-22 was the best year we've had since prior to COVID. It is continuing to grow, and there is an uptick just this year in the inquiries. So that should continue to bounce back towards those pre-COVID numbers. We collect that revenue in a variety of different ways. That bottom table of page 3 shows grand total of all the facilities between Oceanfront Park and the community center. The Cure Beach Market revenues, since we brought that completely in-house in 2019, that overall market events have improved significantly. There's a consistency, and the revenue is all kept within our department as well. So that is growing this year. It should be the best year we've had there yet. And then the last two are just the online store revenue and then our film permit and special events just in there for as interest to those who follow those programs. The big section is the requests from the public. These are going to sound familiar because we've been hearing from some of them for a while now. So we're going to do our due diligence and say them, you know, as they come into our department as well. The disc golf tee pads was something we addressed last year, and from last year's retreat, we were told to put that request in with Matsu, and then we would see what happens, see if they approve us to convert them to concrete pads. So we've submitted that request in late June. We're still waiting to hear back. But the condition of the current tee pads is a bit of a health hazard over there. We've heard some reports that folks are slipping and tripping and injuries are occurring from that. And being that it's part of a town park, no matter how we set it up or who delegated who was to do the maintenance, it is the town's liability. So with permission from council, I'd like to have the ability to work with the Pleasure Island Disc Golf Club to put some attention towards those, to either, if Matsu eventually approves, they did have a meeting last week, so hopefully we will get an answer on whether we can put the concrete pads in or not, proceed in that manner, or look at pavers as an option, but that does increase the cost almost to double and the work involved in doing that. But if council is open to that, we would look at doing about half the course in this current fiscal year and about half the course, or the rest of the course, in the next fiscal year, not to exceed more than $3,000 of town funds in each fiscal year to bring those up to a better standard. And the ROT money should be available to help reimburse the town for that, because it is a draw. There are professionally recognized tournaments there, and then courses that we use.
Well, haven't they already, they've upgraded at least one or two?
Because
there's pavers out there for sure.
Pad, and that was done prior to them bringing it forward. And then the concrete, the pavers that are over there was done by not a member of the club, just someone.
Okay.
Without the knowledge of the club or the town. And it's not done properly. It has to be redone. There's a lip around the edge.
Okay.
We don't have a timeline either on when we'll hear from Matsu from there. We know they had a meeting last week. We found out in our meeting last week that they were going to discuss this the next day, and we ain't heard a word from them. So
I reached out 3 times, and they've had the request over 7 months, but we don't have an answer.
Did they introduce a new contact?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wrote her name down here somewhere.
No, we have a new Malcolm.
Yes, there's a new Malcolm.
Yes, a gentleman that was the colonel back in
2007 and 8.
Yeah, something like that.
2007 and 8?
Yeah, mm-hmm. In that time frame.
Yeah. Steve.
Do you remember his name?
No, I don't remember his name.
I'm sure you got it written down somewhere.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what that is.
I have it in another book. I talked to him after.
Yeah, no, I talked to him.
Yes, okay. I guess we need to bang him on the head and say, where are you on that stuff you're talking about? In a nice way.
When we were at that meeting, I did speak to them about this project specifically outside of the meeting, and they gave me a quick list of questions they had about the request that they did not send back to Nikki. But the information was technically really in the request. So I came back and I shared it with Nikki, and Nikki rewrote another letter and addressed those concerns specifically. So just for the record, that's all been readdressed as well.
Okay.
But yeah. Also, maybe they're snail mailing a formal letter if they're from their meeting last week. So. Or monitoring it. And if they don't hear something fairly quickly, then I may seek some council assistance in getting an answer.
They tend to always open up with, well, you folks understand our bureaucracy of it going from the commander here, the colonel, to the district, to the headquarters, to the three-star, and what, you know.
And I talked to Ed Parvin, and I said, Ed, how are you getting some of these things done? Ed's comment was, there are certain things the colonel can approve. And we've got their contract. I passed that on to Jim to take a look at our contracts. I think there's only changes in the beginning, and he's got 50 things to do. It's not necessary right now. But next year we have a new license coming up for, I think, our park. So we want to have as much fluidity as we can. And if the colonel can approve these things, I don't know why it's taking so long to get approved.
All right, so I think this is what we heard. You correct me if I'm wrong. I think some of those approval processes are changing, and I'm not so sure the colonel has that much latitude anymore.
Well, he had latitude to put the bike ped.
Well, yeah, but that's I think that's all in. I think this, they didn't give us a lot of details on it. But I think some of the approval, I think the approval process is a moving target.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think they have a lot of other things they'd rather focus on.
Well, yeah. And that colonel's only got till July or August, and you're going to have a new colonel to come in and get his feet wet or her feet wet.
Okay. All right. I mean, it's just frustrating as ever. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean,
10 years of dealing with them, and you know, it's like baby steps. Okay.
Speaking of all that, the meeting we had that was put on and hosted by the council government was a good thing. We were in the room. We talked. We heard what Southport's doing. We heard what Carolina Beach is doing. They heard what we're doing. It's all good. We got a good report from Matsu, but you know, developing those relationships are going to be very important to us moving forward. So when the colonel comes in, at least the staff knows who we are and what our concerns are. So they plan on doing these meetings periodically.
So. Yeah. I mean, they're always polite at the meetings.
Yeah.
Just can't get anything done. But, okay. Nothing quickly anyway.
We will need to address them fairly soon because they are a hazard at the moment.
Well, they have to deal with the lease, so we're going to have their attention. Or the license, excuse me. Big difference.
Well, if someone were to get injured, maybe they could sue Moxie.
No,
they can't. Work at
well. I'm sure there's a hold harmless in there somewhere, I bet. As Jim's laughing, yes. Okay, so anything else you want to talk about, Nikki?
Yes, moving on to the other public input requests, the Carrie Beach Pickleball Group, who spoke this morning, has been very passionate and consistent in their messaging with their want and need for dedicated pickleball courts. And, you know, we've been talking in conversations with them for 13 months, and we also hear from a lot of other users at the park. The tennis players have requested additional court space. We've heard at council meetings requests for brick and mortar restroom facilities over there, accessible pathways between park amenities, lacrosse goals, and improved basketball goals. So there are a lot of requests coming in, and they all tend to focus on Jones Park. That leads us into one of the potential budget impacts for fiscal year 23-24. Mm-hmm. We've probably seen it, that we're putting in professional consulting fees for the Joweeks Park site to do some site planning similar to what we just did with the Sandman properties, is to get the consultants in here to hold those public meetings to hear from all of the residents and what they would like to see there, to take the needs of the town into consideration, to hold a stakeholder meeting with Matsu to see what they will allow us moving forward to do with that property, and then from all of that, provide us with a site plan that we can then take to go after federal grant dollars. So that will be a budgetary, I plan to include it with council consent into the fiscal year 23-24 budget. The second budgetary impact would involve staffing. So Sean's actually anniversary is today. He's been with us for 4 years. He was hired in as a band one support staff, but over the 4 years, you know, being a department of two, his role and responsibilities have evolved in that time. And he basically has to be trained in everything I do in case I'm not here to cover. And you know, he continues to take on additional responsibility and handles it well. He was our lead staff person on the Bike Ped Master Plan. Last summer, he was responsible for the training and supervision of our summer seasonal person, and he's doing all the work to get the intern program up and running, and we'll be supervising that. So for that reason, and I feel like, I know we're getting ready to do the salary study, and I feel pretty strongly that it'll come out in there that his current duties are more in line with a band 2 than the band 1B, and would like to promote him through that process so that it reflects his actual duties.
Is there an extra Grinch bonus?
That's in the other duties as assigned. And if we are successful in getting that intern program up and running, that will impact our seasonal part-time staff line item. They are required to put in quite a few hours in a short period of time, but I feel like that will be a consistent source of summer event coverage. We would want to make that be a paid intern because that will help us in attracting quality candidates and retaining them and, you know, getting them to and from town to be here when we need them a lot of evening and weekend hours. So that would definitely increase that line item a bit.
Do you have, Nikki, do you have an idea of roughly how many hours you're going to be?
They are required 480 hours. It's 40 hours a week over 12 weeks. So we would probably look to double that line item, which right now is 325 hours for part-time seasonal for our event coverage. So. Okay. We're planning to continue improvements at the community center. This year we did the ceilings on the ballroom or the meeting room in the kitchen. Next year we'd like to target the flooring in the big ballroom and replace that with a commercial grade waterproof LVP. We're getting quotes on that to include that in next year's budget. And then there's some event expansion that could impact the budget slightly as well.
Do you get any rental feedback on about the condition of the building or anything like that? Is that what's kind of driving some of these?
Just modernizing it to make it more attractive and appealing to the, mm-hmm. especially the wedding industry is probably the most busy and most money to be made with rentals. So to make it kind of more appealing in that regard, okay. So looking at what other facilities kind of look like, the ones that are busier and whatnot.
Okay.
And some of it is based on feedback from folks that come in and look at it and then we don't hear from them.
Have you thought about bringing in an interior designer? Seriously, no, just to make it more appealing, because as you said, weddings and those sort of events are more of the high dollar,
right.
More very better way of generating revenue. Yeah. So
we try to keep it fairly neutral with the gray color and like beach feel and photography on the walls and things, so that it could kind of appeal to a broader spectrum of events or ideas for what a bride may have for her.
Nikki, did you or Sean or maybe some of the part-time get involved with the Kite Festival?
We did not.
Okay.
How many part-timers do we have right now?
Just one at the moment.
And her name is?
Liz.
Yeah. If we lost her, we'd be in trouble for every one of our items, wouldn't we?
The summer would be stretched for
them. Yeah. I mean, shuttling the people back and forth for the events.
You wouldn't see us in the office very much.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how long she's going to want to do this, but...
As working with UNCW, if we can get that program up and running, each year, you know, we'd have a candidate pool, and that's a requirement for graduation, so they have an incentive to stick it through. And
would there be any value to an internship type thing, you think? Or, I mean, just, you don't have to answer it, you just think about it in the future, because...
That's what we're looking to implement.
Oh, is that what you're looking at? Okay. I'm sorry. I guess I was asleep when you mentioned that. But,
I mean, we still have to pay them.
Oh, you pay a portion. The state pays the rest.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Yeah.
So I would, anything else, Nikki?
Unless you have questions.
I would tell you to put what you want into your budget, and when we add them all up, we'll have a second reckoning. Okay? Let's see what it comes to.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nikki, just with the lease coming up for Joe Weeks Park and the whole area there, and you sent out some information earlier about the length of the lease, potential issues surrounding that. But how long, historically, how long has it taken to negotiate that? Because what we're hearing is just even for the minor things such as putting pads in at the disc golf course, it's taken almost a year.
I haven't been involved in the lease discussions prior to that. I have to defer to Arlen or Mandy.
Do we know? I mean, should they be doing that now, or is that?
It's at least,
it's about a year.
It's about a year. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They notify us, actually.
Right.
We just, when we were searching for other documents in the vault, that's when we came across the requests prior, three other requests that were actually at least in there, asking for an extended lease that were denied, so.
Okay.
Yeah. The colonel actually denied it.
Yeah.
But that was 2017?
No, 2007 was the last.
2007.
Was so in that folder.
Since then, we've had no answer except a short lease. Mm-hmm. So we'll try again.
What did the colonel deny?
The long extension.
Make any extended leases?
There were numerous requests.
So, if you would, if we would connect 2 and 4, 2007, we had a note from the colonel, was denied. What does the guy, the colonel, who, what year was this guy who's replaced?
He was here like in 12.
I thought you said 2007, 2008.
I thought that.
No, I thought, John said that. I thought it was 12, 13.
Okay. Well, let's hope it's not 2007, 2008 then. Okay.
13 was when I got here.
All right.
Any other questions?
Not from me. Gentlemen?
No. Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nikki. Administration is next.
Okay. You're not allowed to dock points for me because of a late lunch. Just saying. It wasn't my fault. No, just kidding. So this year we changed our decal mailing program, and we took out a lot of what we usually send, and did a list on the back of the mayor's letter of links and where to go to. And, of course, the information is provided here. If they want physical copies, they can still have them. And we saved $3,833 by doing it that way. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty successful that we got back to our 2019 prices. So far, no complaints from anyone, but they did just go out. But no complaints so far. One of my goals last year was to get all of you guys' iPads upgraded. That's been done and completed. We hosted our first volunteer appreciation dinner last year. We have another one coming up. We've also moved our employee appreciation to the spring, and that seems to be a big hit because we kind of kick off the season for the summer. We have just submitted our grant application again. This is our third submission. The decision will be out in June as to whether we get that. So fingers crossed. I don't really have any budget increases this year other than just general expense. Whatever our vendors go up, their percentage as usual. I'm not adding anything to the budget. I gave my extra position away last year to Public Works. And the only thing I'm gonna add is just annual like air testing, just to make sure our air quality is good with the AC unit cleaning and things like that. And other than that, I don't really have anything. We did start charging for notaries for people that were non-residents, and I don't know that we've made any money with that. It's like they all disappeared. So we're getting ready to kick off parking, and we're going to again hold our open houses. We did not have very much participation in our evening open houses, so we'll probably just do one this go around. We did have some participation during the day, but again, whether it's an open house or not, our staff's here to help the residents with parking. And of course, we'll be helping with the Carolina Beach residents getting their passes as well. So that'll add to.
Have any showed up to date? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's early, but I mean.
They're not on sale yet, but yes, they have showed up and inquired.
Oh, they have? Okay. Mm-hmm. Many?
Well, I mean, we've had maybe four or five.
Four or five?
Come in,
okay.
And want to get them. We're like, they're not on sale yet, but we'll start selling them, and they'll just have to come back or do it online.
All right.
So is Carolina Beach now authorizing us to?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, that's all done, by the way. So those that program's in
February
place.
Okay.
I don't know how many of our residents have taken advantage of it, but they all seem excited, the one that we talked to.
Yeah.
So, but other than that's it. I don't have any major budget changes this year.
Okay.
Do you guys have questions for me?
No, I think we took care of, do we have anything required in here relative to these things?
Yeah, audit.
For our...
To upgrade the sound system.
Upgrade or the people who want us to be online?
No, I've had a couple of requests, not an extreme amount of requests for people for call-in numbers.
Okay.
One of my main requesters has requested for several meetings, and at first she showed up, but then I have them request every month for the meetings that they want, and the last month they didn't show up for any of the meetings that they requested. But generally, whomever requests usually shows.
Okay.
And does the current system allow you to broadcast if someone wanted headphones? Because there's at least two people that are hard of hearing that have asked me questions about that. Does the current system allow you to do that?
I'm not sure. I don't think it does, but I can check into that
before
prepping my budget and see what it would cost to upgrade our system.
I mean, it could be Bluetooth or something like that, right? Just for broadcast only.
Okay.
If we could figure out a system, I know that there's at least two people that have requested interest.
Yeah, I could definitely do that.
Okay.
Are you guys not happy with your microphones up there? Do you want something different?
No.
No, I thought you'd had some issues with the system. And
I think the issue was for presenters who don't speak into the microphone. Can we get a clip microphone?
So I have a couple of questions for our IT vendor through Satellite Army about that. And I can come back at my budget with a price to do it. But our issues that we had been kind of having, we've worked through. We did have an issue with the speakers, but it was like a cover under warranty, and they just had to replace the whole set. Something was broken. So, but other than that, we've kind of worked through everything.
Okay.
Through COVID. One thing I would like to be able to do is broadcast our audio kind of through like YouTube. But that opens up a whole other can of worms is do I do it for every meeting or just town council meetings or...
Well, once you get the capability, then we can define what is
what
in and out,
right?
So you should get the capability first.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions for Mandy?
No,
this one.
Beth, am I forgetting anything that you can think of on our horizon? We've been busy with parking and the grant and stuff like that going on. Okay, thank you.
Okay, that concludes the some of the wish lists from our departments. We have a decision to make here, and that is because since we are not going to eat until approximately 1 o'clock, and Bike Pet is not here, would you gentlemen like to move the budget status and review up?
Yes. Yeah, we'll let Arlen get started on that.
You okay with that, Arlen?
Sure.
All right.
I don't think it's going to be the right one. She's going to be there at noon to pick it up, but I just knew that it was running behind.
Okay, well, I guess we can
keep going.
We can keep going. Let's go.
Can you get Arlen the clicker?
Clicker.
Do I need to stand up here or I can sit down?
It's up to me. Well, you got to take the microphone. So
you should take the microphone. You could hold it there. Because people on the line won't hear you.
There is no line.
But she's still recording.
Oh, nobody on the line?
Yeah, the recorder will pick it up.
Okay.
Okay.
I was going to start with is just a brief review of the current year. I have a lot of different slides here. I don't really intend to talk much on them and more directed to do you have any questions or me highlighting anything that potentially is out of the ordinary, I guess. So we'll start with the general fund. And here we have, we've brought in about 60% of our revenue through, and this is all through December 31st. 2022, so half of the fiscal year. About 60% of our revenue and about 51% of our expenses to date, and those are all normal, you know, in comparison to other fiscal years. So this just shows the major revenue categories in relation to current versus or actual versus budget. Nothing that I really need to highlight. I think most things are where they would be typically. I think earlier we spoke a little bit about TVA. You see that we haven't received anything, but those reimbursement requests have been processed, and they total about a little over $472,000 that we should be receiving soon. And I'll also mention that in regard to property tax, since the main collection time is over, since this point in time, which was December 31st, we've received an additional $716,000. So we're now at around $3,250,000 in property tax revenue, or about 97% of the budget. Again, very comparable to where we would normally be at this point in time. I don't know if anybody has any questions on any of these categories.
Okay.
So there was a category on that other slide of other revenue. This just is a little bit of a breakdown of that. Again, nothing really out of the ordinary. I think as Nikki had mentioned, we see a greater increase in the Parks and Rec and community center type and rental activity. The other thing I would highlight is the third from the right is interest. With the increase in interest rate by the Federal Reserve, we've significantly increased our interest and investment earnings. So what we would normally, the last couple years, what we earned in a year, we're now earning per month. So, and my plan is to shift some additional funds out of our bank account to the North Carolina Capital Management Trust to try to increase, bring in some additional investment earnings. It's just balancing that against the requirements for daily operating expenses. So, any questions on that slide? So I just wanted to also show the revenue, rather than against budget, this is December 31st, 22 versus the same period of 21. And what looks like we've had a significant increase in revenue between the 2 years, it really relates to one thing, which if you look at the other financing, is loans. Last year at this point in time, we didn't have any. This year we had two significant ones, a portion of a fire engine that was purchased of $425,000, and then also a garbage truck, new garbage truck that was purchased of almost $342,000. So that's really the difference. Otherwise, the 2 years would be very comparable for this point in time. And this, there was a category of other revenue. Again, this kind of shows the breakdown back for the same thing, December 22 versus December 21. Except for the, as you see, the change in interest that we've earned, most things are relatively consistent from year to year. And this slide shows our revenue by major category over the past 5 years. Some unique things with property tax, it's not only change in value, we've had a couple small tax increases in that time period also. So like in 2019, 20, and 22, we had some small tax increases. Then we also had a revaluation that's factored in there. I'd like to just highlight sales tax just for a minute. If you look at over this 5 year period, what sales tax has done, it's up 75%. So when is that going to slow down? I'm not quite sure.
How much of that was how they changed how they did it though? Do you know?
Or? Some of it where they started to, if you buy something from Amazon, some of the other,
right.
I don't know exactly, that's part of it though. But the other part, is just still a continued discussion through with all the towns and budget associations, finance office. It's like, when is the other, when's it gonna stop?
Right.
Because yep. we're on track for this current year to be even greater than the 1.5 million we had last fiscal year.
Good.
But at some point that has to slow down.
Right.
I mean.
Yep.
Well, we just hope it balances out.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want it to drop. I mean, but
right. As long as it can level out and go back to the normal levels of increase, yeah, that would be great.
Right.
We can live with that. But this has just been unprecedented. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's a factor of inflation, right? Higher prices, higher sales tax.
There's that. There's also all the federal money that's been pumped into the economy or whatever too.
Right, so people are spending more, obviously.
Right.
Okay.
There's also a lot of discussion about the timing of when refunds are processed too, but it's hard to imagine that they're being delayed that much. For example, we get a refund every year. We have to file a refund to get all the sales tax back that we paid. Now we're doing ours every year. I would assume everybody else is, but there's also things like the hospitals get a refund, or other nonprofits, and there's sometimes a couple year difference in the refunds that they get that can significantly impact sales tax statewide. So. I don't know if anybody has any questions on the 5 year history.
Arlen, the TDA funds, are we, what percentage of what we can apply for are we applying? I mean,
well, if we that also has changed significantly in what's available over the last 5 years, and I think that's more than double. Before, we were kind of limited to what I was even comfortable saying we could request a reimbursement to around that $300,000 range. Well, now that is more, 600 plus. So over the last 5 years, that's doubled also. Whatever we don't use, rolls over just as like fund balance that can be used. And some of it's for example, fiscal year for them really doesn't close out really like for us. So until you hit the November timeframe, you don't really know exactly how much you still had available as of June 30th. So there's always going to be some carryover from year to year. This year, we're attempting to use, as much as possible, like always. It's hard to say exactly how much we use, though. We're definitely using more than half, and sometimes, 75%. There's other years we've used almost 100%.
Okay.
And I mean, this is general fund. Is there a portion of that that goes in other funds, or is...
We'll go through those just a little bit, but this is solely a general fund.
Right? Okay. The only other thing that I'd call guys' attention to, because it may look confusing, 2021 traffic funds or paid parking and 2022, our season hits two budget periods.
Right.
So when we talk about season to season comparison, it's one thing than talking about budget to budget. So the numbers we talk about in our meetings with Coffee with the Mayor and other council meetings are really season to season comparisons. This is budget to budget. Okay. Good, though. Brought in $1 million more. $1.1 million.
Any other questions on this?
Nope.
So then we're going to look at general fund expenses. Again, this is showing the actual versus budget as of December 31st, 22. Again, really nothing out of the ordinary. The only one I'd say is that fire department, and that's because of the capital expenditure for a fire engine that happened in the first half of the fiscal year. So that looks like they've used almost 68% of their budget. Well, that's really why. It's just the timing of that capital expenditure. Other than that, everything else is pretty much, again, where we would expect to be at this point in time.
Is it the same with streets and sanitation with the garbage truck as well?
Yeah, they're still not bad if you think about we're halfway through the year, but
the same issue.
Much less, but they don't stick out quite as bad.
That's right.
48%. So.
Yeah.
Other departments are under 50% with the exception of fire. Is that anything we need to worry about?
Halfway.
What would you find? Well, fire is what I just said. It's because of the purchase of the fire engine.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
And then other departments, I mean, again, there's timing of a lot of things that come into play or whatever. So I would expect that, like in most years, we're going to end up that we're in the anywhere from, about 92 to 96% of our budget is actually in the end spent. So.
Okay.
Unless something out of the ordinary happens. Mm-hmm. There was a category there of other. This just shows what the components of that other expenses are. And again, there's nothing really here that jumps out as any type of issue. This shows expenses as of December 31, 22 versus the same period for 21. And this is where it kind of also stands out, like I said, with the fire department in regard to the purchase of the fire engine. And this is where more is highlighted from what David just said about the streets and sanitation, and it is actually higher this year than last year. It was still at about 50% of the budget, but and the reason there is the purchase of the garbage truck, which happened the first half of the fiscal year. Other than that, there's really, everything still is, pretty, there's no significant or unexplainable differences year to year. Anybody have any questions on that?
Nope.
And this is just that other category, other expenses. And again, there's nothing here that I think is out of the ordinary. Community center, I guess I could say, was up a little bit, but that's, as Nikki had mentioned, there was a replacement of the ceiling there that is the difference. So, anybody, any questions on any of that? So this just shows the five-year history of expenses. And you do see, some fluctuation from year to year, and there's always reasons for everything. A lot of times it's the amount of capital expenditure in every given year. So that's some of what you see in, let's say, the police department, fire department, and streets and sanitation. Some other things that fire department has had some increases in headcount over the last 5 years, so it's the impact of that. You see admin had a significant decrease, and public works had a significant increase in 22. That was shifting of recycling expense. Instead of being recorded in admin, we shifted it over to be recorded in streets and sanitation. Also for fiscal year 22, our streets and sanitation had about $221,000 of paving costs that were paid for out of the general fund. Most of the other departments, again, you see increases, but really nothing out of the ordinary. Any questions on the 5-year history of expenses? So then I thought I would just show also the general fund balance. And what I've done here is the red section of each column is the increase and decrease for the year. And you see for most years we have increased. We had a small decrease back in 2018, and that I think related to this building actually, and some additional transfers we had to make to pay for some additional costs. But since then, you see a steady increase in our fund balance, which is very good. And as we hear going our audit and how we're compared to other towns of similar size, there's a requirement to maintain a very healthy and increasing fund balance also. So we're definitely doing very well there. Any questions on that?
Now we're growing the general budget by probably 18% per year. Is that what that looks like?
Maybe about that. I mean, I kind of looked at over that entire period, it's increased about 85%.
Okay. All right. That's good news. Good news for the taxpayers and good news for staff.
We'll move on to water and sewer. Again, looking at where we stand with that budget as of December 31st, we're running at about 49% of budgeted revenue, and expenses about 38% of budgeted expenses. Again, kind of typical for this fund at this point in time. Expenses might seem a little bit low. It's going to depend on the timing of some of the capital projects that we have in the budget for this year. So this shows the revenue, actual budget versus actual. You see that water and sewer charges, the main sources, are a little bit over 50%. Again, what we would expect. We're kind of into our slower period right now, or less usage, January, February, March. The other thing that impacts here is, without going into a whole long explanation, but we have to do an adjustment at the end of the fiscal year to kind of account for water and sewer revenue that's earned in June of that year, but not actually billed to customers until July, because our reading period is mid-month. So in regards to that, and I typically adjust that back at the end of the next fiscal year. Well, because of the timing with converting over to our new software, I needed to get everything into balance. So I did that adjustment a little bit early. So I did it in December. So if we factor that adjustment in, which was about $95,000, we're actually even running a little bit more ahead than what we would normally see or whatever. So that's a good thing.
So that just means we're using more water and sewer than we planned. That's not totally a good thing.
Well, that
right?
Part's, I mean, not a good thing.
Okay,
right.
So no.
But
on the financial side, okay, but not on the reality side, right? Okay. Our usage continues to go up even with trying to drive people to use less water and sewer.
Except for one, last year we had and I'll show you that when we get to the history. We saw a little bit of a reduction last
right.
year, but everything else, again, kind of where it should be. At this point in time, we have a plan transfer in from the American Rescue Plan Fund to use some of the $660,000 we received, we're going to use that for water and sewer projects. I haven't done that transfer yet. I will do that before we hit March 31st, when we have to report again to U.S. Treasury on how we used our funds. Just making sure we have all our documentation in order before I do that. Some of it's dependent on making sure I have all the timesheets that are necessary to back up some of the uses that we have for that fund. It's a critical component to our supporting documentation. So, this shows water and sewer revenue December 22 versus 21. And this is where, you know, maybe it looks like, for example, sewer charges is down, but that again is where the impact of that accounting adjustment that I did 6 months early. So we would actually, in both cases, have even greater water and sewer revenue for this current year than what's shown here. One thing that's down a little bit, I guess the building activity has slowed down. So we definitely see a some decreases there in you know, water and sewer tap fees. Anybody have any questions on that?
No.
So this shows the 5-year history of water and sewer revenue, and this is where water and sewer charges have jumped up a number of years that primarily related to some rate increases we did at points in time. In addition to, for 21, the COVID impact and the increase in people coming here, I guess, at that point in time. But we do see a slight decrease for 22. We did have that drop off, I guess, in usage in 22. Other than that, there's really nothing out of the ordinary here either. Anybody had?
Jimmy, can you ask Robin to do a month-by-month usage for water? I know you report it to us. Can she just make it over the last 5 years and graph it and send it to council? Because when we talk about water and sewer rates, I like to talk about actual usage instead of just the financial part as well. I mean, the aquifer, we're the minimal user at this point, but everything we can do can help. I still push Carolina Beach every time we talk to them about that issue.
Well, yeah. And in the summer, we use 18 to 22 million gallons a month. Yeah.
Right. And I'll have some of that a little bit later, where I have some comparison of rate, you know, what's charged by the four service providers in New Hanover County.
Yep.
At various usage levels. So I have, yep, some of that.
Oh,
a
good.
Later that,
thank you.
That in some cases, a little eye opening, but you
know. Oh, I know. Yeah.
So I'll move on to water and sewer fund expenses. This is actual versus budget for the first 6 months of this fiscal year. Again, nothing really out of the ordinary. Operations may look a little bit lower than it normally would be, but it's the timing of capital expenditures. Mm-hmm.
Is that because we're pumping more to ours than theirs?
Well, that shows up here too also. So that gets into a whole different thing with how we're being allocated usage right now, mm-hmm. and I guess the problems that there are with the meter,
yeah,
in regard to measuring. So it's, for the last year or more, it's been at a fixed amount rather than the actual. It's where we ended fiscal year 21, maybe. I forget that we were using about 20.5%. I forget these days right off the top of my head.
That, yeah, so we just got a quote for a new meter, so,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I assume you approved that, Jimmy, so we should be seeing that,
right,
get resolved.
He was going to send me a new revised quote last Friday. I haven't received it yet.
Yes. We're working on fixing that with them.
So it's hard to say, you know, we assume we're going to end up in a better position, but right. It could go the other way, too.
It could,
one is,
yeah,
an actual measurement, again, rather than the estimated amount based on history.
Now, do we have a minimal fee that they charge us per, if we don't pump enough? I was just going to say.
We do. So we pay a fixed fee, mm-hmm, for the allocation, and then we pay a variable fee for the actual usage.
Okay.
So it's broken in two parts. If we went to zero, we're still paying,
okay,
the fixed,
so,
fee.
I'm sure we pump every bit that we should to meet the minimums or the allocation,
well,
fee.
There's not really a minimum. I mean,
right. So. We still gain to send as much as we can to our lagoon, and Jimmy does that. So we've increased our usage of our lagoon because our variable rate is cheaper than their variable rate.
Okay, but okay, so there's two elements to that. Okay.
One, we pay for our allocation, that's right, the fixed part,
okay,
and the other part we pay a variable rate on the gallons we send up there.
I didn't realize there was a variable condition to that thing. So, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So what do we run, like 79% off-season and at some point in time get prepared for season because we need a lot more capacity, or?
I would say it's over 75% that we send to our station.
Even in season?
No, not in season.
Off season. Off season.
We maximize ours the entire year, and then whatever extra there is, we send it.
We send out.
So and they noticed it when we did it. They definitely noticed it when we did it.
Okay.
And Jimmy and I guess it was Joe, right, that went to that one, right? And Arlen and I, we told them we were doing it, but the next year when it happened, they noticed. Yeah.
That's when they owed us $40,000 or something like that.
I don't know that we, well, it wasn't the payback necessarily, but the reduction in gallons drove up the variable rate, and then we paid less of it. Yeah, I don't know that we got a big...
Yeah, so we always have that settlement part or whatever, but then it was just how it affected the rate for the next year.
That's right.
Some of those rates were down.
Smooth move.
And you know, for their purposes, of course, they had to... definitely increase their budget somewhat.
All right. Good job.
Yep.
I'm fine with this.
Just shows the expenses December 22 versus December 21. And you see that everything's pretty comparable, you know, for this point in time in relation to last fiscal year. And this is expenses over the 5-year period by department. Again, I'd say nothing really out of the ordinary. You get some fluctuations in operations for the amount of capital expenditure. There might be the impact also probably in operations of hurricane damage at points in time or whatever. Mm-hmm. Anybody have any questions on that? Next, I just thought I would go over the net position, which is basically the same thing as fund balance, but for the water and sewer funds, it's considered net position because the account is different for these funds. And in red, it shows the increase or decrease for the year. So you see, in most years, we have had an increase in our net position. Way back in 2018, that decrease was actually driven by some changes in the accounting rules in regard to how we had to account for employee medical expense, retiree medical expenses was the main thing, and then also some changes in how we had to account for retirement costs. Other than that, we've had increases, which is a good thing. And I'll talk about this later when we talk about projections, but in most years, we're barely, if at all, covering or even our annual depreciation of our capital assets. So in that regard, we're not doing a huge increase in reserves in the event that we need to do anything significant project, but it is by far better than having a decrease in that position.
Okay.
So the next one's really better because this one includes equipment.
So right, so this just shows how that net position is broken down between capital assets and then also, in essence, what in theory is spendable, but you don't necessarily want to spend in particular all of that. You know, and you want to really spend anything if you're going into your net position and you want to spend a minimal amount of it. You want to try to maintain those reserves just in case. But you see the invested in capital assets can fluctuate because it is it's net of things like depreciation. So for example, that number, that percentage has gone down in 2022 because we depreciated more than we added.
Right.
But the other important part is, again, we're maintaining a good level of unrestricted that could be used in the event of emergency until hopefully we could get reimbursement from a federal agency if necessary. Anybody have any questions on that?
No.
We'll move on to the stormwater fund. We're at about 40% of revenue through December 31st and about a little over 14 and a half of expenses. Revenue's kind of
typically what it would be about this point in time. Expenses may be a bit lower only because there's a fair amount for capital projects that we haven't paid for yet, or some of them that haven't started yet, but will in the second half of the year. So this just shows that revenue, budgeted revenue through budget versus actual. And you see our monthly stormwater fees are right on where they should be at this point in time for 6 months of billing. Stormwater billing fees are, you know, running below what we'd expect for this point in time. If we want to say half of the budget, we're instead of 40,000, we're at like 28.6, and again, that's the decline in building activity at this point in time. Interest is up for the reasons that we talked about earlier, and this current year has an appropriation of fund balance. We haven't had to use any of that yet. That is part of the budget because of using fund balance to pay for some of the capital expenditures. And this just shows how December 31st of this year compares to last year. Again, you can see the difference in stormwater building fees. Other than that, you know, things are fairly consistent. Any questions on that? This shows the five-year history of stormwater revenue. Stormwater fees, the largest source of revenue for this fund. You see the result of increases in fiscal year 21 and 22. Those were done to increase our reserves to pay for the upcoming capital projects that we have. Stormwater building fees, see some sizable fluctuations, depends on building activity. Loans, same thing, depends on what we have to borrow for. And in 2022, we had purchased a truck that half of it was charged to this fund and half of it to water and sewer. And luckily, hurricane reimbursements, we didn't have any in this past fiscal year. So. And hopefully we'll continue that trend.
Amen.
Quick question, Arlen. I think it wasn't last year, but the year before, we reduced the connection fees for new builds. Is that reflected in here anywhere, or was there no impact?
The state made us reduce the
state impact fee. The impact fee, yeah.
Yeah, that goes back at this point about five years ago.
Is it 5 years ago?
Where we could no longer charge what was considered a user fee. So there was a new thing that you could charge, a system development fee, and there was a whole long process to determine what that could be. I'm really at the point where I'm going to recalculate that again, since we're at about the five-year mark, to determine whether that needs to be raised or lowered based on our current circumstances.
Okay.
But yeah, where the user fee that we had before was about, I think it was $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
The system development fee is $592, so it's a significant change.
Okay.
And those funds then actually come into the stormwater, or whatever. There's a separate fund, the sewer expansion reserve fund, which I'll highlight that in just a minute. But that's where that revenue goes.
That's where that's why I didn't notice any changes in. So okay, good. Thank you. Should have waited. You've answered it.
I mean, this is stormwater expenses, the budget versus actual for this current fiscal year. Operations running, a little bit lower, with some of it maybe just the timing of maintenance expenditures, and definitely capital outlay is the timing of the capital projects that we do. Because when you look at our expenses this year versus last year, obviously operations is pretty much still, it's in line with where we were last year. And actually last year at this point in time, we hadn't had any capital expenditures in this fund either, so nothing really out of the ordinary. And this shows the five-year history of expenses for the stormwater fund. Larger expenses in 19 and 20, hurricane damage, mm-hmm. and the repairs that we had to make for those. Debt service, you see a large drop off, that was the pay down of loans or pay off of loans.
And then capital outlay can just vary so much year to year depending on the projects that, that are scheduled. Anybody have any questions? And the last one is just the fund balance for the stormwater fund. And the, again, just like the others, the red section is the increase or decrease for the year. So we had 3 years of decreases, and that's really where we were using fund balance to pay for the certain capital projects, which again was the intent. Our intent with this fund as much as possible is to, you know, build up the reserve and then use that money to pay for the capital projects rather than having to borrow a lot of money.
And this will be where it'll come from if we do back there behind Settlers Lane, for right. One. And then there's some potential other smaller projects that Jimmy had in. And then once we get the assessment of the systems, there may be some other smaller projects. Additionally, we've got to walk the ditches. I'm very concerned about the one that goes to the Dow property. And Matsu gives us permission to walk those, but when we start trying to, if there's blockages in there, that could be very expensive to fix, and we got to get an agreement with them that we're allowed to do that. That was the most concerning one, because that takes the water from Settlers Lane. Not that goes out here by K, but it's the one that goes down the middle part of Settlers Lane.
Let's get that scheduled before the snakes get out.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Anybody have any questions? Next, I just show the Powell Bill Fund and where we are as of December 31st. We received our allocation from the state for funds. Powell Bill, as we all know, is for street repairs and maintenance. That's the only thing it can be used for. We get in that anywhere between $65,000 to $70,000 a year from the state in regard to Powell Bill Fund. So we've received all of that for the year. So far, expenses have been, you know, minimal, just some minor, I guess probably some patching or whatever that was done at points in time. So, but this is where we'll pay for, we talked about street paving earlier this morning, and, you know, as much as possible, we'll come out of this fund with the balance coming out of the general fund.
So, if we do a main project every 2 years, get $140K, we can go from one stop sign to the other.
Yeah, basically.
Yep. Yes. All right.
Right. Okay.
So this just shows the revenue for the fund. It we basically received everything that we estimated we received for Palco. Kind of moved some funds out of investments for this because we used so much of the balance last year and planning on using it again. So it's, I originally thought that it would be a little bit of interest income, but right now, again, the way it's invested, I've kind of not invested any of the Palco funds because it's not really significant amount there to do that as well. And this shows the 5 year history of Powell revenue. So you see that allocation from the state, you know, relatively consistent. I did show that appropriation of fund balance because that's how much of the actual fund balance we used last year to complete a lot of those paving projects. Mm-hmm. This just shows Powell bill expenses over the last 5 years. Again, you see them fluctuate widely, but you definitely see when we did paving projects in 2013 and then last year in 2022. Any questions on that?
No.
And this is the fund balance for the Powell bill. Again, it's, you know, we built it up to a certain level and then started to spend some of it. You see the increase in 19 for the paving costs, and then a significant decrease in 22 for the also paving costs. So there are two other funds that are considered governmental funds. One is beach protection, the other one is federal asset forfeiture. So for beach protection, that's what we have set aside as like a reserve fund for beach related expenditures, anywhere from beach renourishment if we needed it, to repairing dunes, to fixing beach accesses, to any related type of expense. So the only amount budgeted was investment earnings, and we're well above that already, since again, what we talked about earlier about changes in the interest rate, that significantly helped this fund. So And there have been no expenses out of this fund to date. Federal asset forfeiture is based on the police department's involvement with federal agencies and investigations and funds that we receive as a result of that. The budget was $25,000. That $25,000 was really considered to be an appropriation of fund balance. We didn't really anticipate
it. One question on that for Chief, if I can, and that is, Chief, without Paul, do we still have opportunities to get in on this?
No.
So this is kind of it?
Yeah, since he retired, we're pretty much done. I'm not going to send anybody back up there.
Okay.
It's pretty much everyone.
All right. So I wanted to know. Thank you.
Unless something happened in Trevi's ceilings, right? Because there's still some small opportunity, because some dumb people could come down here, but
yes.
The big part of it was from up around the porch, right?
Mm-hmm. And I'd say it's the burden you want, but it would mostly be narcotics.
Yeah.
But it would be very minimal.
Smaller.
Yeah.
Like the Camaro that's been sitting out there for a year? What's going to happen to that eventually?
That will get back to probably the owner.
Okay.
That was the hit and run involving the child.
Okay, I didn't know exactly what it was. I shouldn't have been out there a long time. Okay.
Yeah. I'm ready for it to be going.
I'm sure you are. Yeah, I'm sure you are. Until they got to bring another tire, I guess. Okay. And a battery charger.
Jesus. The cost of parking it here all that time would be about just about the value of the vehicle, I'd imagine.
Yeah, we're going to charge them for it. Unfortunately, I drive.
Yeah. So we get to store it and have responsibility for it, but we don't get anything for that.
Yeah.
We don't have to fix the tire there, right? Okay, I swear. You said we're responsible for it, right? Okay.
We're responsible for storing the evidence.
Okay.
And we tried to move it to the sheriff's department, but they don't have room.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry to digress. Apologize.
Yeah. That's all right. It's important information, or important to know.
Well, what I wanted to show here again, the increase or decrease in fund balance, and this is for the Beach Protection Fund. So we definitely see a steady increase in that fund. And we, if you think about, you know, this fund was started, I forget, back in like 2013 approximately. Mm-hmm. So we've made a significant step in creating, you know, funds to use for beach-related expenditure. We've gone from zero to over $500,000 now. The bulk of that funding was, you know, transferred from the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But at this point, with the increase in interest rates, and almost every penny of this is invested. I think I have $400 in cash or whatever for this fund. The rest of it is definitely earning as much as it can at this point. So.
Great.
Yeah, so just for council and the public on this one, there were county commissioners that were making noise about the town not doing anything for beach renourishment, even though the TDA money that comes from Curie Beach and pays for that. And so this was started by the council at that time to allow us to say we are trying to do something, but we can't afford beach renourishment on our own. And so if it ever comes down to the reason that fund is there is so we could pay our fair share if that's what we get into, but it won't come anywhere close to paying for even one beach renourishment. So,
right, because at that point, I think was at a point where it looked like we were going to have to pay 17.5%.
That's right, exactly right.
Which was
still a lot.
Significantly more than we even could afford.
Right.
And then there was a whole discussion about us borrowing money from TDA or out of the Beach Renourishment Fund, and they were going to charge us a ridiculous amount of interest. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah. So it was even though it's ours.
In the end, that all worked out, but
But it's good to just emphasize to council and the citizens, this is there to help us on a political issue. It won't cover the cost if it ever really happens.
Well, there is another reason we do use it as well. When we do have a hurricane, FEMA takes its time paying you.
Right.
Don't we, when we have to do things, we take it out of this fund and then replenish it?
Okay.
Right?
We haven't up to this point.
Right.
But we could.
But we would and could.
It's there as a cushion. That, we had to replace a couple beach accesses that we really didn't have the funds to do that in the general fund, you know, we could definitely do, take it from here.
We wrote it so it's more broad than just for speech renourishment sand. So, but it's speech related, yep.
Good. Keep getting, keep having that interest pour in there. Good job.
So where did the initial capital come from?
From the general fund.
From the general fund?
Yeah, we allocated some to start it, and every year we actually approve some amount in the budget process to go into this fund.
Yeah, we'll wait till June and then look at how our budget year is going.
Okay, so we started out with almost 300,000?
No,
well,
we started 2013, zero.
2013.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so yes, sir. Okay, I'm sorry, 5 years, yeah.
Yeah,
our
last 5 years here, but yeah.
So it started in 13.
Yes.
There's some years we transferred $100,000. You know, okay. Some, you know, it's varied. 100,000, 50,000, you know, it's really varied.
Zero. There's been some 0 years.
Okay, last year wasn't much because of all the salary things going on with the state and everything else, so. Okay.
And this is the federal asset forfeiture fund balance for the last 5 years, so, you know, as Mike said, we probably won't be seeing anything coming in anymore, so it's only going to be a decrease in the fund balance, but you can see there's many years where there hasn't been anything that comes in, and, you know, and there really aren't significant expenditures out of here either, but you know, there's some every year. And even this year, probably where we are right now is around about $99,000 is around fund balance rate, you know, as of today. So.
Okay.
So this is the last fund for the SERF fund or Sewer Expansion Reserve Fund. This is the one where the main funding source is the system development fees. So we're in good shape here. This also has a significant investment earning component, so that's helping to drive this revenue up at this point in time also. No actual expenditures through this point in time. And I just move on to what the fund balance is for this fund, and this shows you know, steady increases over the last 5 years. There's a few years ago, right before this point in time, we used some of this money when we built the new lift station. Mm-hmm. So part of the funding was a loan, part of it was the some of the sewer expansion reserve fund fund balance. Based on our funding, we're never going to see huge increases in this fund because, you know, that system, and the system development fee is only $592, and that's on new construction. So, you know, what you see there is, you know, anywhere from what, 12,000 to, you know, 24,000. Again, we're not going to see much more than that in a year. So,
and this is supposed to be used to expand sewer capacity, correct?
Correct.
So, it's either buying more allocation for Carolina Beach, right, or expanding that facility because it looks like it's going to be expanded, or expanding the lagoon, which the way our lease is currently written, we can't expand its capability. So it'd really be investing in the Carolina Beach joint venture we have on sewer. Thanks, sir.
Any questions on that fund?
Will this eventually level out? Mr. Batson told us we've only got 174 lots left. Mm-hmm. When the town gets built out, won't sewer and water kind of?
Well, at that point, the only way we could earn anything or any revenues would be investment earnings. And if we were to start to pay down the or use the fund balance, I mean, that would decline also.
John, if they take a three-bedroom house and make it a five-bedroom house, do they pay into this or no? Is there a fee that goes in this? It's only for undeveloped property that gets sewer put on it?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah, I just wasn't sure.
It's kind of like they're buying into the existing system, basically.
That's right, yeah.
If they add a unit.
Oh, so if they add a unit.
Yes.
But it'd have to be a separate unit.
Yes.
So there's a lot of properties that could happen on there, right?
There are.
Yeah.
But if you have a one-story and made it two, that would not be an add.
Okay. Unless you made it a duplex, right?
Yep. Or the new property right next to the Air Force Base that was one house and it made it four units.
Right.
They paid in for 3 times.
They'd be paying 3 times, right.
And why would the state want to limit what we can do here?
I know because the developers lobby.
I know the developer lobby for
the development lobby is
the fact of the matter is
you knew the answer to that.
Yeah, I know the answer to that. But the fact of the matter is that the builder is charging whatever that fee is to the individual he's building the home for.
It was actually, if I remember correctly, the state statute got written incorrectly. So it gave counties the authority to basically charge this user fee. But the way they worded it for municipalities kind of left out a word or two, and that resulted in this whole thing with a lot of lawsuits, a lot of towns having to pay back significant amount of money.
Carolina needs to pay back quite a bit.
So, we adopted to what the new requirement is with the system development fee, and like I said, it's quite
that's
a process
right.
to calculate it, but, we'll revisit that in the near future. So,
we follow
John, did the checks go to the contractors or did the checks go to the building owners?
I think you know the answer to that.
Whoever paid it in got it back. Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions on the CERF fund?
Yes, sir.
So next, I just thought I would do our kind of annual review of our minimum fund balance policy.
Before you continue, I'm sorry, do you guys want to break for lunch? It's ready.
How much more have you got?
How much more we got on?
20 charts.
Well, I would definitely break before we get to, like, looking at the future stuff.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
If you want to break right here, that's fine.
That's fine.
Oh.
I'm good with you.
Let's break it future. What do you got, 10 more minutes?
Well, this will only take a couple minutes. Then I would definitely break because then it's looking into the future. If you want to cover this will take like not even 5 minutes.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Let's do the chart and then we'll break.
So this was how we look in regard to the policy that council put in place back in January 2012, and it's really just to make sure we maintain a fund balance within the governmental funds, and I list those out. They're the general stormwater power bill, beach protection, and federal asset forfeiture funds that we maintain at least 32% of the total projected expenditures for the next year as our fund balance. And I won't stay focused on this, but this is what we cover during the audit also and the components of our fund balance. And this serves as the basis for the calculation of what are we maintaining our fund balance. And the most important component here, I'm going to say, is the light blue part at the top, and that's the unassigned fund balance. So that means that's basically available to use for anything we need to use it for. But again, because of other things, we would not want to use all of that or any significant portion of it, but in theory that's there. It's not committed to anything at this point in time.
Or what percentage would, if we used a percentage for a project, would we get the letter from local government?
Well, it's going to do that thing like when the auditor, when he goes over that, there's a whole amount. The process changed about a year or 2 years ago on how we're compared to other towns. So it's going to look at us in comparison to other towns, I think, that have general fund balances up to $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to look statewide, and it's like, okay, the average is X percent of fund balance. Well, if we fall anywhere below that, then the council's going to get a letter that says, how are you going to rebuild your fund balance to get back in line with other municipalities within the state?
Even though we're well above our...
Yes.
Our policy.
Correct.
I mean, that's the factor, well above, but the question was, if we fall below, what would happen?
Well, you would get that.
We would get the letter.
Well, we're not required to have it 8%. But we're well above it. But we're still going to get the letter.
Yeah, we're in great shape.
Yeah.
But that's what would happen if we drop. Let's all of a sudden the council said, let's use 50% of our fund balance or whatever. Not that you would, but by the next audit, you're going to be responding to the state on why you did that and how you're going to build it back.
That's right.
Because of their rules.
Well,
that's how we fell here.
Because they're making sure towns stay healthy, because towns went broke.
And
I mean, even when we complete our audit, there's a whole another package that has to be sent into the state treasurer's office. And then even at that point in time, they're asking questions about, for the new fiscal year that we're now, that we begin to, did we use any of our fund balance to balance our budget?
Right.
So they're asking that already, you know, mm-hmm. before, right at the beginning of the fiscal year. They want to know how much of that's happening.
Good.
And even worse than the general fund is if you start doing that in the water and sewer.
Yeah.
Fund.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm. so even though we have these nice reserves, they're almost at this point these days, they're required.
That's fine.
All right.
I'm glad we have it.
Yep.
So here I just show that from the implementation of our minimum fund balance policy, and this is something if council ever decided to change, you know, I wouldn't say lower that percentage, but we could always revisit it, and would we want to bring that percentage more in line with, you know, the way things are these days. But you can see that since the time, right before it was implemented, we've always been in compliance with our own fund mm-hmm. balance policy. And in fact, you know, well above needs. You maybe see a couple of years where it dropped down to 2017, 18. That's where we use a lot of our stormwater fund balance for capital projects. So that actually brought the percentage down, but still well above our minimum fund balance policy amount.
Arlen, what year did you start with us?
I started here, it seems like forever. I started here in June of 2010.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the good work.
So, I would say this is a good breaking point.
All right. Okay, we're going to break for lunch, and we will use
30 minutes.
What? 30 minutes for lunch?
30 minutes enough?
1 o'clock, yeah, 30 minutes, because I told you.
38 minutes, how's that? 38 minutes.
Yeah, all right.